Blog Talk Radio.
Do you think it's going to do for the Republican Party and chances of holding on to leadership and the majority when it looks like you're the ringleader of a circus led by Matt Gaetz, who likes to blow things up but not offer any new ideas? Are you happy following Matt Gaetz? Is that your leader?
I'm not following Matt Gaetz. I made my own decision. I didn't ask Matt.
But if Matt Gaetz didn't challenge, you weren't going to challenge.
Do what?
If Matt Gaetz didn't stand up, you weren't going to challenge. You know that.
I believe I would have.
Oh, come on.
Please.
You were praying about it 1 minute. The next minute, you're going to lead an insurgency?
So you don't think that praying about it's important? Is that what you're saying?
1 minute, you're praying about how you're going
to
vote with Matt Gaetz. And the next minute, you're going to lead an insurgency?
Listen, you got a predetermined.
New poll from the Washington Post and ABC.
No, I have an opinion about what's going on. Do you have an opinion too?
And you talk over me every time I try to make
a
point.
Make your point.
The point is that we're $33 trillion in debt. This speaker was woefully, woefully lacking in leadership skills. He always placed the blame somewhere else. America's going to be better off with new leadership. And
right.
That's the bottom line.
Is it?
It possibly could be Steve Scalise. It could be Elise Stefanik. It could be Roger Williams out of Texas. It could be Mark Green out of Tennessee.
So they all supported Kevin McCarthy, including the most conservative guy I know, Jim Jordan. Why are you smarter than Jim Jordan and the 210-plus Republicans? Why are you smarter?
I represent my district, brother. And why are you smarter than me? You're
right.
Condemning me
because I
stand up on my own, and that's what I do.
I'm not condemning you. I'm questioning you. You don't like being questioned?
The line of questioning is very negative, and you know that, and I know that. When this is all over with, and we have a new speaker, and we're running smooth, let's have this conversation again.
Were you happy with John Boehner?
I wasn't here with John Boehner.
Right. With Paul Ryan?
They're both rhinos. I mean, why are you? They're not in my camp anyway. But I wasn't here when they were here.
So you had 15 yeses for every round you voted for Kevin McCarthy. But you think he's the problem?
Right now, I sure do. He's part of it. He's part of this whole problem. When you deny that there's a problem, in this dysfunctional Washington, brother, then you know there's a problem. You can't
who
get
denied there's a problem.
You can't get past the fact we take in $5 trillion, we spend $7 trillion, and leadership seems to be okay
with
that.
I'm fascinated the way you blame Kevin McCarthy that you're $33 trillion in debt, but you're going to get
surprised.
A new leader. I'm sure he's going to solve everything.
Well, I'm surprised that you give him full credit for all the successes that we've had.
I don't think you should take all the blame.
Well, why are we backing it up? We had 9 months, exactly. That's a great point. Why do we wait 9 months to do something about the wall, something about the budget, something about – well, we never did anything about term limits, which we promised
the American public. I watched him for an hour and 15 minutes. He was doing an awful lot, but not enough for you. Tim Burchett, Congressman, thanks so much.
A new poll from the Washington Post and ABC News shows Donald Trump defeating Joe Biden by 10 points. And it's so shocking to see such a lead for Donald Trump that the Washington Post said this must be an outlier. Something's wrong with our poll. Now, the other day we had people saying, see, they don't want to admit it. How could they even put the poll out? Well, it's simple. If the Washington Post conducted a poll and found that Trump was winning by a massive margin and then suppressed it, it would be a scandal of epic proportions. Their only editorial choice is to release it and try to bury it. Then they can say, well, you know, we published it. Too bad. 538 picks it up. Real Clear Politics pick it up. Somehow and for some reason showed Donald Trump crushing it. So what's changed? How is this possible? Well, you clicked this video. You know exactly where I'm going with this. Among independent voters, Hispanic and black voters, Donald Trump is surging. Now, he doesn't have a majority of black voters or Latino voters. Those voting blocks are still very Democrat-leaning. But Trump has improved dramatically. And more importantly, among these groups, Democrats are actually struggling. It's not so much that they're all switching to Trump. It's that some of them are just bowing out. Which brings me to the subject of this video, which you already understand where I'm going. How is it that Donald Trump is surging? Perhaps it could be that in places like New York, fights are erupting as the city and the state ship in non-citizens into local neighborhoods and give resources to the tunes of millions, even up to billions of dollars, to fund the lives of non-citizens while people in this country struggle. Imagine you live in New York. Your business was destroyed in 2020 when they forced you to shut down. Or how about Cuomo murders your parents in a nursing home?
No.
That's right. I'll say it again.
Cuomo
put in nursing homes sick people with COVID and killed, I think the number was, what, 15,000 people?
I believe
perhaps you've experienced that hardship. And today, the city, which declared itself a sanctuary for illegal immigration, is now spending more and more of your resources on non-citizens. And this is where it gets crazy. A viral video published by the Daily Mail showing the local police protecting non-citizens from citizens who are trying to defend their towns, their neighborhoods, their state.
All right. All right. We got a lot of people on the switchboard. Whatever you want to do, push one if you want to talk. If you don't, that's fine, too. We're not going to go to 3 o'clock in the morning this morning. I got to get up early. So if you want to talk, you better call in before the time expires. You want to start a conversation. Where in the hell is that? Let me see if I can find this real quick. Where in the hell did it go? Well, I tell you, son, I'm having a hard time here. You know, see, I haven't talked
one of them
to you.
Nights.
You know, yeah, you've been working pretty hard. Making daddy some money. Thank you, dear. I'm almost decided to stop doing the UAW show.
Why?
I am so sick and freaking tired of the petty bullshit. I got emails I'll let you read later. I am so tired of this bullshit. I mean, petty. This is petty crap. This is bullshit. We're grown men and women, and my God. That's why I don't go to Facebook and go check out UAW things, because it's nothing but a shit show. And I am so freaking disgusted. Little kids, grown fucking people acting like little kids. I'm mad at this person because this person does it. Fuck you. I am so damn tired of that crap. You just don't have a clue how much crap I get in an email listening to this bullshit. One side against this side against that. I don't give a damn. Grow up.
They were arguing before.
Shut the whole goddamn thing down on Sunday night and won't do it. I'm not putting up with that crap. I'll just keep the name. Just keep the name on Blog Talk. Not have a show. My God. Over bullshit, though. It's over nothing. Just acting like a little child. God damn.
I understand, honey. But you got to remember that everything changed because you guys finally voted in somebody that wasn't.
That hasn't got nothing to do with
regular union
classes.
But no, everybody's trying to stick
with our president. Do you understand that? It has nothing to do with that. No, then be quiet. You don't know what you're talking about. It has nothing to do with the election. It's just bullshit. That's what it is. Somebody wants to call in that happens to be married. She's 88 freaking years old. Her husband's 92 years old. Her name is Dina Jackson. Her husband is from 1292, local 1292 out of Grand Blanc, where my dad retired. He has two hearing aids. He can't hardly hear. I talked to him, and he stutters. So he doesn't want to call in. The wife wanted to know if she could call in. So I gave her, my phone number. And I talked to her and the husband, and the poor guy he's 92 years old. And it takes a while for him. He's worse than I am. And that's bad.
Oh, I understand.
No, and somebody's bitching about you can't let somebody's not a union. Bullshit. If you're married to a UAW worker and you want to call in, call in. And I got an email saying I don't believe that was an email. I don't believe that really happened. Well, her name is Dina Jackson, and hopefully she'll call in tomorrow. I don't know if she will. Hopefully, she's got a grandson that works in, what is it, local 602, Lansing, I think, 602, out of Lansing. And they're worried about him. And he's a tier worker. And I told her, and I don't know where she came up with the idea that she couldn't call in. I have no idea. I don't know. I don't think it was from our show or something maybe she read. I don't know. I don't read the crap. So I even told her, I don't know. I don't read nothing about what people are saying because they're bullshit. Anyway, she wanted to ask some questions about, you know, about her grandson that, you know, he works and has a family and he listens to the show when he can, you know, when it's taped, you know, he'll go to Blog Talk and look at the archive. I said, you can call in anytime you want to. I don't know where you came up with the idea you couldn't. And I hope to God we don't give this the impression that you can't call in. Because then I'm not pulling that bullshit. If you're married, we got a lot of old timers, old retirees, older than I am.
Yep.
And if they don't like it, they can kiss my ass and we'll shut the show down. I don't give a damn. I am just so fed up with this petty bullshit. Petty bullshit. It's all it is, petty bullshit. Act like you goddamn got some sense. You don't run every goddamn thing. I run it.
Yeah, what you're seeing in Canada, what you're seeing in Maui is all part of the United Nations Agenda 2030 plan. It's a plan to get most people out of areas that aren't like smart cities. Anything that's not like, basically like that. They want people out of like nature, so that's why they're burning down a lot of Canada. They're burning down this part of Maui. They wouldn't allow it to be developed. And it's all a part of Agenda 2030. And, you know, it's 2023 right now. So it's like, okay, so we got like 7 years left for them to keep trying to do this stuff. But, you know, 7 years, maybe we'll be able to adapt. And, you know, that's how I plan. You know, I'll figure a way around most of the stuff. I'll paint my house roof blue, you know, that kind of stuff. But now, you know, it's called Agenda 2030, so you kind of assume they kind of want to get this all done by 2030. Well, Satan Klaus just met with the United Nations, and they're going to speed it up now.
This afternoon, the Secretary General and Klaus Schwab, the founder of the World Economic Forum, will witness the signing of a Memorandum of Understanding on a strategic partnership between the UN and the World Economic Forum, which outlines areas of cooperation to deepen engagement between the two institutions and to jointly accelerate the implementation of the 2030 agenda.
Yeah, so Satan Klaus and the World Economic Forum are like signing agreements with the United Nations. Like, who else does that? Well, I guess Bill Gates. Just go and sign agreements with them. It's like, what's the agreement? Well, you know how we're going to like destroy everything and put everyone into smart city concentration camps, make them eat bugs by 2030? Well, the agreement is we're going to do it faster now because people are waking up. So we got to speed this up. It's not going to be 2030 anymore. It's going to be like 2025 or something, which actually right in line with Deagle and their population forecasts, where they forecast the UK will be down almost 80% in population by 2025. The US will be down something like 70%. Like Canada is around 60%. Germany's down like 80%. They're really going after the Germans again.
Wow. Okay, I know I played this before, Agenda 2030. Anyway, Dina, I see your phone number. If you'd like to, you know, join, push one. And I know you don't agree with everything I say. That's fine. Although I'm right and you're wrong, that's okay. I'm just kidding. Just kidding. Now I'm in a better mood. Okay, let's carry on. I haven't exploded like that in a while. I feel good. Feel good.
Yeehaw.
Sorry about my language, too, folks. I don't mean to explode. Let me get Gene. Let me get Pianchi, Brother Pianchi, and Adrian.
Hey, Don.
And hold on, Gene. Would you wait a minute?
I'm sorry.
Please. 336, you're on. I don't know who 336 is. All right. Okay, Bianchi, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm cooking.
Oh, of course you are. Adrian, are you on?
Yes, I am. Good evening, everyone.
Good evening. Gene is on. Man, and we got a bunch of Skype numbers. We got a bunch of 313s. Push one on your keypad if you'd like to join. Go ahead, Gene. You have the floor.
Well, I was just going to say something to what you were saying earlier. You need to open your show tomorrow night with that. You know, you guys have been doing the show a long time. If they don't like it, then they can start their own stupid show.
Okay.
You know? And they can have their own rules.
Well, it's just not rules.
But
it's this petty, stupid.
I agree.
Fight.
May I ask what happened?
No.
A little in the dark.
Oh, I'm sorry, Joseph. I know it was the UAW. Somebody, there's a old couple and a gentleman, the retiree, UAW retiree. And his wife wants to be his spokesperson for him, which is fine with me. To me, a UAW spouse is, they're hooked together. And I know spouses like Jean right there. Jean was just speaking. She knows more about what's going on in UAW than most damn members. So, yeah, when she says something, I listen. And we have Adrian. She's a UAW retiree. And she looks a lot younger than me, but we're the same age. And she's hot, you know, right, Adrian? Me and you got something going on, right, baby?
Yeah.
Anyway,
like,
I get
like Bianchi, like Bianchi in there cooking.
Yeah, she's cooking with Crisco, baby. No, I explode sometime. I don't mean to on it. But anyway.
Well, I think you have a right to.
Well, not
I think
on
you
this
have every right to.
Well, just really bothered me that somebody that is on our show writes me and pretty much called me a liar, and I don't like that at all. I'll tell you right now, it's not right. And I talked to Dean. Her name is Dina Jackson, and she's 88, and her husband's 92, and she's on the thing, switchboard. I hope she doesn't mind. But he got the shot, and all of a sudden he started stuttering. And he's got a pretty bad stutter, and he never had that problem before. And I'm not saying it was because of the shot, but it's kind of strange.
Anyway. Sounds like it.
Coincidental.
Yeah. Yeah. I think they think, I'm sure they think that. Well, I know she does because she told me. And the doctor thinks the same thing, but he didn't give him the shot. But anyway, that's how it goes.
Yeah.
Who's going to be our new speaker?
I don't know. That's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, it's going to be. It's going to be. And how long is it going to take? We only have, 40 days now before we have to come up with some more money?
They stopped sending money to Ukraine.
I think on the global stage, what's going on in Israel right now is very huge. I think that it's going to funnel in a lot of, which is, if Iran is responsible for funding these terrorist groups, which I think they are, I wouldn't be surprised if you see Israel strike Iran, and if that's the case, then you'll see a lot of not to get into a biblical conversation, you'll see a lot of biblical prophecy be fulfilled with the Red Army coming down from the north, because Russia built a lot of those nuclear reactors in Iran. And they've always said if they're attacked, then Russia would attack whoever attacks Iran. So you can literally look at a very, 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 very powerful powder keg right now for a stage of World War III right now.
Yeah, I was just, before the show came on, I was looking at some video. What they have done in Israel is, it's just unbelievable. There's people laying on a road dead, young kids dead.
Yeah.
It's just terrible. Just terrible. And if Israel, they have, and they, you know, one of the news tapes it was from the EU said that, I think it was the BCC, said that some of those weapons were shipped over from Iran. So we'll
there you
see.
Have it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, Palestine, everyone who wants to stick up for the Palestinians, look, Palestine isn't, they're not even a people. If you look at the history, there's no such thing as Palestinians or Palestinian people. You know, so when people say that they have they're a lawful state, or they have they're entitled to the land there or whatnot, really they're not. And, you know, I understand their plight, but at the same time, they're not really entitled to anything.
Well, wait a minute. I mean, and we're not going to go with the biblicals like you had said, but in Scripture it talks about the Palestinians, then the Palestinians in the Old Testament.
Yeah. Well, really, Palestine is made up of 160 different kings of really Jordanians and Syrians and from Lebanon, and you know, really, what claim do they have to that land that they say is theirs? If, like you said, you know, biblically, really, technically, it really does belong to Israel, since it all dates back to Abraham. Abraham getting a woman pregnant, you know, when you think about it, and that's, you know, and who. Yeah, and yeah, so that's what it's all about.
Yes.
Knocking somebody up always starts trouble.
But when I was just saying that the Palestinians have been, or even in the scriptures, you know, he talks about the Palestinians and the wars and stuff with Palestine. So, anyways, but yeah, the Middle East is pretty crazy right now, that is for sure.
I'll tell you right now. Yeah, it's hot. It is hot. And what they have done, Israel has to react. There's no question about it. Go ahead.
You talk about those claims. You would be surprised. Those arguments can go either way. But the debris from those missiles, they need to examine those. It may be some of the missiles and material that was left in Afghanistan, you think?
That's possible.
It's damn right it's possible. Boy, wouldn't that be something. Oh, geez.
Mm.
Oh,
then
Lord.
Then he's going to be part
of that. Oh, gosh. That
you
would
know?
Be something.
Weak foreign policy. A weak foreign policy we have, and that's our Joe Biden in office, you know, and a lot of this would not have happened if Trump was in office, you know, not to play Monday morning quarterback, but again, the weak foreign policy, you know, I mean, that's just what it is. They have no say over there anymore, and you see it's happening. Well, Afghanistan was just total disaster and embarrassing for the United States. I don't agree with the war in Afghanistan, and I believe the United States should have never gotten involved with that, but at the same time, the exit policy that Biden had done was just absolutely absurd and ridiculous.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I can't argue with that.
Can we go back to McCarthy? Oh, sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, go ahead.
I was wondering what took the Republicans so long to oust him, because he was pussyfooting around for a long time. He should have started impeachment hearings, a year ago? At least, if not longer.
Well, he hasn't been the speaker for a year, Gene.
Okay, you're right.
Come on now.
But
about
even
months.
Shortly after, I mean, they were bringing the charges against him, and everything that's been coming out, you know, with the money laundering and them getting millions of dollars, and, you know, just they should have started a long time ago, months ago. And he danced around it. And for the Republicans, because, you know, to the ones that okayed all that money to go to Ukraine, if they stopped sending money to Ukraine, that would help the budget a heck of a lot. You know, we don't need to be sending money to Ukraine. If we can't balance our budget, we don't need to be spending that money.
No, you're right. I don't think we should be funding anything in Ukraine.
We should have never even given them anything. Weapons, nothing. Nothing. We should have our noses right out of it.
Well, we gotta start something. We always gotta be in a war. There's just a small fraction of time in my lifetime that we haven't been in a war.
Well, why are you giving the aid to countries like Honduras, Nicaragua, and Guatemala to fight off the aid to people down there in those countries, and those people are leaving those countries and coming up to the United States and getting a greater reward?
True.
Trump cut it down tremendously. I mean, he cut it down from tens of millions to probably a million, 100,000. But Joe Biden and the Democrats, they back to buying favoritism.
But isn't it ironic, though, that all of a sudden he wants to finish the border wall?
Yeah.
It's like,
well,
if he would have done it.
And he waived the laws, which he has no ability to do. What in the hell is the president supposed to waive a law?
But the thing is, why didn't he finish it 3 years ago, or almost 3 years ago, when he took office, instead of stopping it immediately? It would have been finished within a few months.
If it wasn't for the New York City mayor and the governor of New York and Chicago's mayor and going crazy, I don't think they would try to finish the wall at all. But they're bitching.
Well, it ain't the mayor of Chicago. The people, it's them black folks at South Shore that's going crazy and about ready to tear somebody's head off.
How about New York City? They're holding up signs in the road right now, tonight, earlier. They don't want jobs. They don't want work permits. They want more food stamps, and their cell phones aren't as good as they were promised. And these are on something written. I'm serious. You've got to be kidding. They should line up all the people that United States citizens that are on some kind of assistance should get out there and beat their ass. Just beat them false. That is disgusting. Demanding. They want to stay in better hotels.
Yeah, they kicked veterans. They kicked veterans out of hotels. I did that on my show, called The Hotel, exposed it. Kicked veterans that had passes to stay at a hotel for 30 days, kicked them out to move illegal immigrants in.
Yep, they sure did.
I was watching a guy do a video, too. They've closed restaurants so that they can be feeding these people. They've closed restaurants to the public. But you know what's ironic? Isn't it like New York and Chicago and LA and all them states or places? Mm-hmm. Well, we want, we're a sanctuary state. Well, now that we're calling their bluffs and sending all those people there, they don't want them.
Yeah, they don't like it. They don't. It was okay when they stayed in Texas.
Yeah, because they were like, it was so far from their home.
Yeah.
It didn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
But now that they're being shipped into their backyards, oh, baby, we don't like that.
No, they don't like it at all. And I do, I watched a city council, I don't know if it was city council or not, but it was in Chicago, south side of Chicago. They had, it must have been in a gym. It was packed, just packed with people. And, man, they are not happy whatsoever, not happy at all. And they have every right to demand some equality. They're not even getting half the things these illegals are getting. Not even half.
Nope.
I mean,
well,
they're
thinking about
these people
those
are
people
carrying around
Chicago voted for that politics.
I know.
Hell, they got to look at themselves. They voted for the politics.
Well, I don't think they were
promised
this,
Bianchi.
I don't think they were promised this. I mean, come on.
They voted for Lori Lightfoot. Then they turned around and voted for this Brandon. He told you what he was going to do in the onslaught.
Yeah, he did. He did.
But, you know, and then I look at, like, places like Kensington in Pennsylvania. Or, yeah, Kensington, it's in Pennsylvania. No, Philadelphia. I don't know, anyway, near Philadelphia. And it's the it's one of the highest drug and crime areas. And it's, I mean, there's just hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people on the streets. Hundreds. And it's just, it's like if we would take those resources that they're using to bring illegal immigrants, and put them into those areas like Kensington or Arizona. I can't think of where in Arizona there's a big population like that too. And it's just, if they would just take the resources and focus on our own citizens that, because a lot of the drug use is from mental illness, not all of it, but a lot of it. But even to help these people get off the drugs, help them get on their feet and become a you know, productive person again, you know, that would do our country a way better, you know, in so many ways. It's just, I don't know, it just angers me when I see those videos of these cities like that, that are just so many homeless, so many. And a lot of them are veterans.
Yeah, there's a lot of veterans out there. And like Joseph said, that, you know, they cleared out a hotel of veterans just to put these illegal immigrants in there. And
yep.
you notice that these aren't families. If you notice, these are young men. Young
mm-hmm.
men. You know, we promised they were going to be families. We're going to let the families in. I haven't seen any families yet.
I've seen a few speckled here and there, but it's
well,
very
yeah.
few and far between.
Oh, I have. You're right. Oh,
and those are the photo ops.
Pauline just sent something. Riley Gaines wins $8 million defamation suit against Whoopi Goldberg. I don't know if that's true. She sent it. I just said it. I didn't even know she was suing anybody.
Who's suing her?
Riley Gaines. It says she wins $8 million in a defamation suit against Whoopi. Like I said, I don't know if this is true or not. Anyway, I wanted to get that off so I could clear it. Yeah, we got a big problem in this country, and it's not getting any better. Big problem. What are we going to do? You know, if something happened, you think the military would back the American people or
I
or
think
not?
They back the American people because the way the Constitution is written, you know, against enemies, foreign and domestic. And at that point, I would think that a lot of these, the government politicians and stuff, they are acting as a domestic enemy by allowing a lot of this stuff to happen.
Well, I don't know. I seen the state of Texas put out that the wire out there and Rio Grande, and then here comes, I don't know who it was, came, cut it down and pulled it out of the water. I think, why are you doing that? and then I'm thinking, if something really pops and American people stand up and say enough is enough, what side are these people going to be on? I think they'll be on the government side.
They're going to be on the side that's feeding them.
That'll be the government, right?
Yeah. And did you hear what I said about the Border Patrol cutting the barbed wire fence?
Yeah, that's what
Texas.
Yeah.
They have no business doing that, Donnie.
I know they do. That's what. Yeah, and that's what makes me think that if we stand up and defend what we, you know, our Constitution, our rights, what part of, you know, is the government or, I mean, the military going to be on our side?
Well, regardless of whose side you're on, you're supposed to be on what side? The side of the U.S. Constitution.
Right.
Yeah, but that's not going to do you any good if you're dead.
Well, I'm sure.
When I spoke to my son, he has said that he would be defending the Constitution and that would be sticking up, or in most of the people he's talked to, would be protecting the American people.
Well, that's good. I hope my son's that way too, but we'll see.
Well, what else? If you don't have that, you don't have anything.
That's
Me
true.
I massacre. Those soldiers face prosecution because of what they've done was against a rule, an engagement rule in war. Well, you're going to have U.S. soldiers that's going to come and don't disregard the U.S. Constitution, then what good is it? They going to kill Americans?
I don't know, Bianchi. I don't know. Go ahead, Joseph. Lorianne's in the chat room. Lorianne, you're going to have to call in. Let me know what I can't even see, but it looks like a $20 name out there. I can't pronounce it. So you're going to have to call in and tell me what that is. Anyway, I don't know.
Can I ask a question?
Well, absolutely. You can make a statement, too, while you're at it.
Well, basically, I want to apologize to you for Sundays. I'm going to stop right there. We'll talk tomorrow. The other thing, what I wanted to say about military, our politicians, all of them take an oath. So, what I'm seeing is that everybody's interpreting the Constitution in the way that they want to interpret it. And it's causing us many problems.
Yeah.
That's what I'm seeing. Yeah. I could be wrong. I've said it before.
Yeah.
I've taken the oath twice. As a federal employee, and then in the military. And you have your commander-in-chief, you have all of your admirals, generals. So I'm just saying something is not right.
Is there anything in the Constitution that calls the president the commander-in-chief?
I can't even tell you, Bianchi, when that came about.
Yeah.
But didn't that, I would have thought that it came about way back, right after the formation of any of the militaries.
Good question.
And, you know, another thing, too, is the Constitution is absolute. Only thing it's supposed to be interpreted laws that's written on the basis that whoever writing the law think they're writing the law that's constitutional, then that's when it goes to a judge. But it's absolute.
Bianchi, it's in Article 2, Section 2. And it says the president finds...
He calls him a commander-in-chief?
I believe so. Hold on. I'm looking it back up.
Nerd, I don't mean to interrupt you, Gene.
The Constitution says the president shall be commander-in-chief of the Army and Navy of the United States and of the militia and the several states when called into action of actual service. Hang on, I'm looking it up again. I have to go to a different place.
Well, if he commands you to do something unconstitutional, I think then that's where the line is drawn.
Yeah.
Okay, Skype, I put you on. I don't know who you are, but I thought you might be Sarge, but apparently you're not. So,
maybe hello? Article 1.
Go ahead, Jean.
No, I'm talking to myself. Go ahead. I'll mute myself and I'll...
Okay, go ahead, Skype.
Hello?
Hello?
On?
Yeah, you're
hello?
On.
Hello? Oh, it is Sarge. You did get the right person. How you doing there, Donnie?
Hey, how you doing, Sarge?
look, as somebody who has taken the oath of office as both a police officer and a member of the active army and the National Guard, I took it about every time I reenlisted, so that would be 3 times. In the active duty army, I took it once as a police officer. So I took the oath of office to defend the Constitution 5 times, and I still take it seriously. And I take the question as to whether or not the armed forces are going to be on the people's side in any turmoil, which is kind of a vague term. I'd like to kind of narrow the focus of that a little bit.
All right.
To answer your question, though, I think many of the people who we would count on to be on the constitutional side of the issue were purged from the armed forces when Joe Biden came into office, and to some extent in the last year of Trump's administration. They were purged with COVID mandates. The kind of people who are likely to see things as being wrong were ones who were purged. There is a purge of the armed forces going on as we speak. People who I think they see as politically unreliable are being discharged or forced to resign. Give you a perfect example of it. I mean a perfect example. That a lieutenant colonel who had a brigade command in Space Command. Remember him?
Right.
And that Marine who offered the objection to the horrifically horrid manner in which the Afghanistan withdrawal was conducted. Both of these men were punished, removed from the commands. In one case with the Marine, he was court-martialed and actually got sentenced to the brig. So, I mean, these kind of people are the ones that the government, those who would impose a constitutional regime upon us, are getting rid of in the armed forces. So I'm going to say this. Once upon a time, I would have said with reasonable certainty that the armed forces will be on the side of the people. And at the very least, if there is the kind of turmoil that leads to civil conflict in the form of armed conflict, might at least stay in the barracks for the most part, except to maintain the very worst where the disorder is occurring. They would at least stay in the barracks and wouldn't get involved. They leave it to however it shakes out in the political realm. These days, I'm not so sure. I don't think we have that kind of armed force anymore that sees their first duty to their oath to the Constitution and to not obey any unconstitutional laws, even if it's issued by the Commander-in-Chief, who indeed does have the Article II authority to command the armed forces. That is why the oath of office, if you will notice, the oath of office of an officer is not the same as the oath that an enlisted person takes. There's a difference, and there's a difference for a reason. Enlisted personnel say they will obey the orders of the officers appointed of the commander-in-chief and of the officers appointed over them. That's not what officers say in their oath when they take their oath. And there's a reason for it, because they expect officers not just to blindly obey orders. Yes, they have to obey orders. That is obvious in any military organization. They have to be able to use their discernment to discern what is legal, lawful, and constitutional to some extent. So, I mean,
Somebody needs to look that up. Look that up, Gene, the difference between the oath for officer and...
I'm gonna read it to you. I got it right there. I'm going to read it to you so you'll see that there's a difference. Yeah, and
there are two different oaths.
That does make sense. Why there would
be... I do know there are two different oaths.
Yes. There's a reason for it.
Yeah. I can see that.
But aren't they both... Are they obligated to... defending the U.S. Constitution, right?
Oh, yes. Yeah, both of them, yes. Yes.
All right.
Yes.
Okay, here's the thing, and I'm going to let you read it. Here's the thing. Then if you got an officer that's not defending the U.S. Constitution, that's there to protect the people, then he needs to be brought in, and the people need to be brought in. The militia need to bring him in.
Yeah, well, let me tell you what the enlisted man says. Okay, I do solemnly swear or affirm that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, that will bear true faith and allegiance to the same, and that I will obey the orders of the President of the United States and the orders of the officers appointed over me. That's what an enlisted person does. Now, the oath of commissioned officers says this. I do solemnly swear that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, that will bear true faith and allegiance to the same, that I take this obligation freely without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion, and that I will well and faithfully discharge the duties of the office on which I am about to enter, so help me God. Do you see the difference?
Yeah. Yeah.
And there's a reason for it. It's not an accident.
No,
there is a reason.
There's no president in there. The first one that you read doesn't sound like the one I swore to back in.
Oh, you took it. It's been the same for decades. I remember that's the only one I took because I was enlisted, man. That's the only one I took. It's been the same for decades.
Okay, this was in the 70s. Now, Adrian, you took that oath. Did it sound like the same one to you?
Sound like something's missing, but that's, like I said,
it's
been
the same one.
So
they haven't changed in decades.
Excuse me.
Donnie, when you took the oath, the words we have today in the dictionary didn't exist then.
Thanks.
That's probably what happened to both of us.
Oh, excuse me. There was one phrase I left out. I'm sorry. I did leave out. And I will obey the orders of the President of the United States and the orders of the office appointed over me according to regulations and the Uniform Code of Military Justice, so help me God. And remember, they didn't adopt the Uniform Code of Military Justice until 1960. Before that was the Articles of War. So that's the oath of office it has been since that time. And that's everybody who's in the armed forces, Air Force, Navy, Coast, doesn't matter. They all take that exact same oath if you're enlisted.
Now, when did they change? I remember growing up when I was a kid, it was Department of War. When did they change it to Department of Defense?
When they reorganized the armed forces after World War II. The Air Force was, I believe, it was about 1948, 1949, became Department of Defense.
I was still a kid, and it was Department of War. I mean, I was a kid back in it was early 60s, and it was still Department of War. And then I don't know when they changed it, but it was in the 60s, I believe. I know
it might have been early 1960. But you're right, it was Articles. For most of our country's history, it was called the Department of War. And like I said, people in the armed forces wanted the Articles of War.
Okay.
So the Coast Guard fell under Department of Transportation.
Day-to-day command. But they were still subject to the Uniform Code of Military Justice.
I just kind of looked it up. The War Department existed from 1789 to 1947, and then it's split into the Department of the Army, the Department of the Air Force, Department of the Army, and Department of the Air Force later joined the Department of the Navy under the United States Department of Defense in 1949.
Yeah, 1947 sounds right because that's when they reorganized everything, because the Air Force didn't exist before 1947. Before that, it was the United States Army Air Force. When
right.
they reorganized, or they made the Air Force independent, they reorganized the entire defense establishment, and they created the Department of Defense and the Secretary of Defense, which didn't exist before that. Before that, it was the Secretary
of
War.
It says in 1949 is when the Department of the Army and the Department of the Air Force joined the Department of the Navy under the United States Department of Defense.
Well,
let me get Lorianne on real quick. Lorianne, you're on.
And Bianchi, roll on.
Hello, everybody. Quick. Happy Saturday.
Happy Saturday.
Article 2, Section 2, Clause 1. Did you catch that, Bianchi? Article 2, Section 2, Clause 1. The President shall be Commander-in-Chief of the Army and of the United and Navy of the United States and the militia of the several states. That's the beginning
when
of it.
When called in the federal service.
Right. Well, I was just giving him where it states. He wanted to know where it states that he's Commander-in-Chief. Article 2, Section 2, Clause 1.
Yeah, remember, the militia can only
you know,
be called
I think
in
they
a...
need to rename it again. They can't.
You
I don't think?
Think
that Department of Defense is appropriate. I think now it should be renamed to Department of Military Interest.
Yeah. Well, and he shouldn't have no control over the civilian militia.
Well, he doesn't unless Congress. I mean, he doesn't unless Congress calls the militia in the federal service. Remember, Commander-in-Chief can't call the militia in the federal service. Only Congress can. It has to be an act of Congress.
I think they're probably talking. I wouldn't go. Because if it got down to that point, I wouldn't go. I can see them calling the National Guard. Yeah, we know that. But the regular militia, that's people that's armed, no.
Well, from the very beginning of this country, practically, even with the Continental Congress, there existed a provision to call the militia in the federal service. So, they had the militia. In fact, the Militia Act of 1792 explicitly allowed Congress to summon the militia in the federal service.
And even if the militia didn't go, Congress don't have any enforcement authority. They don't have no police.
Right. True. But again, that comes down to an issue of whether or not the governors are going to obey the dictates of the Constitution, because again, it's allowed for in the Constitution under Article 2, Section 2. Clearly states
well,
that the president is, when they're called to the federal service, the president is their commander-in-chief.
If you got a governor like that of New Mexico and Illinois with Pritchett, then you got some problems.
Well, that's another matter. Now, see, what you're talking about is we got the wrong people in office. That's not a defect in the Constitution. That's a defect with the people we elect.
Well, yeah, but when the call comes down, then what you going to do when you have people like them?
Well, now that's a member. That'll be a matter of conscience, I would imagine, especially if they want us to do unconstitutional things. I know one thing. I'm not going to obey unconstitutional orders. I didn't do it once upon a time when I was in the armed forces. And my commanding officer, my platoon commander, who was a very good officer, by the way, I admired him greatly. But he tried to get us to kill a prisoner because he was upset and he was at his wit's end. And we just had a guy who was very popular in the platoon, had his arm blown off. We were trying to attack a bunker. And this guy had been in the bunker. It was three NVA in the bunker. Two of them were killed. This NVA was wounded. We pulled him out of the bunker. Our medic was treating him. We called for a dust-off to take him out and back, this North Vietnamese soldier. And my platoon leader told me to kill him. Just take him out, just kill him. Don't worry about the medevac. Kill his best. And I refused to do it. I just wanted to do it. And I really admired this guy. He was a fine officer, and we all had confidence, but I recognized he was at his wit's end, and he got mad at me, and he started yelling at me and everything else. He was threatening with all kind of shit. But later on, he cooled down, he apologized, and he was suffering from combat fatigue. That was his problem. He was at his wit's end. He just went too much. But the point of the matter is, I know I'm not going to obey any illegal or unconstitutional orders. I know I'm not. I'm not going to do it.
Well, at that point in time, when the military is not following the Constitution, you got somebody like Milley tell some private to go out and kill Trump. Well, then that's when you have to lose all faith in them. Then it's going to have to revert back to the people themselves, because they're going to be the next target.
Well, all kind of bad things can happen. The question is, what's going to happen? Like, because it was initially raised, what's going to happen if and when the military has to make a choice between the people, the Constitution, and the orders from their lawful superiors, at least lawfully constituted superiors, with somebody holding the title of commander-in-chief, is their nominal, lawfully constituted superior? What are they going to do? That's the question. I say, I don't know. That's the first time I was pretty confident in answer, I'm not anymore.
Well, let me ask you a question. If uranium paratroopers paratroop and land down in the middle of Texas, whose responsibility to deal with them? The U.S. military, or is it Texas?
Oh, obviously, in both governmental entities. Now, obviously, Texas is closest to the matter. The governor's going to immediately activate his National Guard, probably his state police, anybody can get there to fight against them, and they're going to notify Washington, D.C. that we're being invaded. Washington, D.C., under Article 4 and Section Article 10, Section 3 of the Constitution, are obligated to come to the defense of Texas and the United States. Clear what has to be done. Now, the only question is, would it be done?
Yeah, and here's a question, too. They can only come into Texas if they're invited by Texas to come in. Because, case in point, Katrina. They couldn't send FEMA troops into Texas unless the governor of Texas, Louisiana, unless the governor of Louisiana invited them. That was the case.
Actually, the governor of Texas doesn't have the authority to allow foreign troops in the United States absent permission from the United States government. I used to train foreign officers when I was a tank gunnery instructor at Fort Knox. I trained lots of foreign officers, and every one of them had been admitted to the United States under the auspices of the United States State Department and the SOFA agreements we have with these foreign countries. So even the state of Texas can't allow foreign troops into the country without the express permission of the federal government.
Well, that's the same case with the sheriff and your agents, your alphabet agents. Alphabet agents supposed to come into Michigan and go to Donnie's house and knock on his door and say, come with me? Or is he supposed to check in with the sheriff? There's a lot of pretensions out there that needs to be addressed and discussed.
Well, there's a lot of things that need to be addressed under the Constitution. We have gotten so far away from the Constitution, it's dismaying. And to think we got people in these elected office who don't even understand the basics of civics that you're supposed to learn in the sixth grade, I mean, I can't think of anything worse. They're actually governing us. You don't have any concept of what the Constitution is supposed to allow for. They think the Constitution is an impediment to what they want to do, not a guide for what they're supposed to do.
Well, any person that's seeking an elected position or any authority of that kind needs to take a course in the history of this country, the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and those other pertinent bases. That's what you have a paramedic do. That's what you have a firefighter do. That's what you have a pilot to do.
That was once upon a time. We got people who believe we have a living, breathing, flexible Constitution. They don't believe the words on the Constitution are fixed and immutable until they are altered by amendment. They just don't believe it.
Some of these elected officials don't know their butt from a hole in the ground, and we know that. We witness it all the time, and look at the things they'd be contriving. Look at the philosophical thought that they turn into words in like a 4th of July speech. They don't know. And you can't blame them for not knowing, because the week before they was elected, it was probably a shade tree mechanic. Not saying there's something bad about being a shade tree mechanic, but come on now.
Well, I think that's an interesting question to ask, though. Where is the armed forces going to side? Because I keep hearing every day more and more people speculating about civil war in this country. It is frightening. What's about the time to even talk about civil war was a fringe notion that nobody was supposed to broach because it was just too absurd to even consider. That's not the case anymore. Every week I see people who are respected commentators broaching the notion of what would happen should there be a civil war, either total war across the country or regional civil war or any variation in between. I'm telling you, I've never seen so much discussion about civil war since the actual civil war in 1859 and 1860 when they were talking about it. So, yeah, I think it's something we need to at least think about what would happen. I mean, every week I read something about somebody speculating about the possibility of it and what will happen if it occurs. You never used to hear anything like that.
No, you didn't. No, you didn't. I hear it a lot, too.
Rootin' tootin'.
Yeah. I'll tell you, I don't know if it'll be a civil war. Hopefully, we can all come together. And if need be. I think if everybody could see, and I think they would together, I think they would, we'd all be together and take care of our country.
I don't know. The way these kids are getting educated in college, I don't think that's true anymore. I just don't.
Yeah, because
they're being taught to believe this is a racist, illegitimate, genocidal, oppressive, exploitative country that is not worthy of protection. They say that about the people who founded the country and wrote the Constitution.
Yeah,
I mean, more and more young people are talking like this. I don't think that's true like it was once upon a time, Donnie. I just don't.
Yeah, you're probably right.
When you see women that's obviously revealingly pregnant and they standing there with their hands underneath the fetus and bouncing it up and down and saying, I'm going to kill this sucker next week, Donnie. Whoever would have thought that you would have seen that other than something out of a demonic story?
Yeah.
These people are crazy. And here's the point. If they want to have their way, well, have your way. Why is it that you want to change those who think opposite by a great degree than what you are? I don't want my kids brought up like that, but they say, no, we have a right to bring your kids up like that. So are you going to come together with that? I'm not.
Bianchi, the reason they want to do it is because they wish to acquire power that subverts the Constitution. The kind of power they want to acquire is forbidden by the Constitution. It's in the way. You and your children who are taught to believe in the Constitution and the founding traditions of this country are in the way. You are an obstacle. They got to get you out of the way so they can create the kind of country that is not allowed by the Constitution. That's why they say what they say. Look what these people are teaching our kids in colleges and universities today. It is staggering what's allowed to be taught in these colleges.
That's true. Yeah, you're right. They don't teach like when I was growing up. We had to, I remember everybody in the class had to take a part of the Constitution and, you know, we would speak it and talk about it and what it meant, what it actually meant.
Donnie, they're doing it at West Point. They've got a diversity, equity, and inclusion minor at West Point.
That's amazing.
I mean, it is impossible to overstate the extent of Marxist infiltration in the education in the United States. They're doing the same thing, the Air Force Academy in Annapolis.
Wow.
They get away with this,
Sarge, is because the students that's attending these institutions never was brought up in the proper thought. So anything is fair game with them.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be like China, which of course I can't say it was wrong. You had Chinese kids that was turning their parents in, right?
Well, Bianchi, I would disagree. You know, I think they come from all families. Families that did teach them and families that didn't.
But what I can't understand is why is these institutions.
I can't believe it. My grandson drove 2 hours up here to go vote. He came back and told him, Papa, he got it for about 6 days. He said, Papa, they closed, but I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to be late going to work Monday. I'm going to vote. So they ain't getting them all.
No,
and
they're
I
not.
Didn't go through no extraordinary procedures of building a building and having them run around the track 5 times a day in order to instill it into their head.
Yeah. Well, yeah. But, you know, I don't understand how these institutions say West Point. Why are they changing? That's the problem in my mind is these institutions are changing. And these stores that you can go in and steal $950 worth of merchandise before you can get put in jail. These stores should be hiring people and stopping that crap, but they're not. But whoever owns the stores ought to be doing that. West Point shouldn't be changing anything. If you want to go to West, you're coming in our way, and we're not changing for you. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Wait a second. Bianchi, it's not just the college institutions anymore. It's starting way down in the preschools and the elementaries. You know, that they're almost like what your parents say is one thing, but this is what we're teaching you this way.
Well,
you know,
I hear what you're saying, Gene, but see, it's the parents that's supposed to control that school. The child's first teacher is the thing.
I do not disagree with you.
I understand.
But if it's not happening,
whose fault is that? That's what come it's not going to be. You got a lot of parents that is, and you got a whole bunch that's not. So that's why coming it ain't going. It's not going to be no coming together. It just ain't going to happen. The philosophy is too opposed to each other.
It really is. Did you not hear what the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff said in a congressional committee hearing under oath, that he was studying critical race theory because he wanted to understand white rage? He's imbibed the premises of these race Marxists.
Yeah.
He's imbibed their premises. The whole defense establishment is being infected with this stuff. It's not an exaggeration under Joe Biden.
No.
The chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff said this.
I know. I remember him saying that. I do remember him saying that. And I was amazed when I heard it. I was amazed. Because I never heard of this, but I will be looking into this. I need to learn.
Do you see this guy they just confirmed as the new chairman? Do you know what his curriculum vitae entails? Amongst other things, he has studied and promoted and suggested proposals to reduce the number of white officers in the armed forces, specifically with specific policies and specific quota numbers. This man is the chief advisor to the president of the United States on military affairs.
Is that not racist? That is
racist. It's more than just racist. It's Marxist and racist. I'm telling you, we have no idea of what this can lead to. Now, I think at this stage, it's possible to nip it in the bud. If we get an administration that's going to return the armed forces back to its proper role, being prepared to protect this country from foreign and domestic enemies, and to be prepared to engage, close with, and destroy enemies in the United States in battle, and more importantly, to deter others from wanting to do the same to us. But right now, we don't have that. We've got a senile, demented fool as president of the United States. His strings are being pulled by the most radical people imaginable to ever attain seats of power in the federal government. That's why we're seeing this. But we can't wait too much longer. We're going to have a red army, not a United States army, if we don't watch it.
I agree. Well, even basic training has changed. It changed a lot. Drill sergeants used to go in and they broke you down to build you back up. They got rid of all that hogwash, worldly stuff to build you into a soldier. And they can't hardly do that anymore.
It sounds to me like, I swear to God, a lot of the stuff I'm hearing sounds like therapy struggle sessions with regard to the way they want to treat and regard recruits. They don't think that you're supposed to fit into an organization that is supposed to be able to function even in the face of taking massive casualties, okay? Well, you got to plug in replacements rapidly. They're acting as though they're a bunch of individuals who have problems that need to be catered to. That's not the way you run an army that actually has to fight a meaningful war, because it never works that way.
Well, Sarge, here's another thing. All these military age embodied men, males, that's coming across the southern border, how are they going to be used? And is it possible that some of the stuff that was lost in Afghanistan may come across the southern border to be used against American citizens, American people by these individuals? Oh, yeah.
No, hell yeah. It's probably there.
Oh, hell yeah. Look, you got to remember one thing about this. All that gear that was left in Afghanistan, $80 billion worth of gear, which, by the way, is worth more, in the entire yearly defense budget of the Russian armed forces, that $80 billion worth of gear we left doesn't have to be used. It commands premium prices on the world's arms market. You can sell it, get a whole bunch of money for it on the international arms market, and you can buy comparable, cheaper equipment that can do the job just as good if you train the people to use it properly, Soviet and Chinese stuff, and get a bigger bang for your buck in terms of numbers, quantity anyway, if not quality. So that's what probably most of it is being done. It's being broken on the international arms market. And these same people that took that $6 billion that Joe Biden gave Iran, that money is being used right now to finance and fund much of what's going on with Hamas and Palestine right now in Israel. That much of what they're doing now, we have directly or indirectly funded already with the stuff they got from Afghanistan and much of what they probably have sold already on the world arms market. Remember, the United States gear commands a premium price.
Well, look at the Libyan catch. Where did a lot of it end up at? Tariq, Mali, Niger, the Boko Haram that's fighting against the Nigerian military. Where did they get the weapons from?
Iran, North Korea, Russia, China, either directly or indirectly through the international arms market. They're getting it. All of it aided and abetted by this criminal presidency, this horribly corrupt, anti-American criminal presidency.
Well, I'm saying this, and I'm not going to speak on it much more.
I'm saying that the common, everyday United States citizen, they better get themselves armed, trained, and indoctrinated in what they need to do. Because you can't take these chances. The evidence is too many signs of what the possibilities may be. All these things are not happening for a great big 4th of July party.
And we need to start getting our states, our individual sovereign states in what the Constitution of the United States grants them sovereignty in. By the way, that's mostly everything, with the exception of a few things that they are forbidden to do by the Constitution. Our individual sovereign states need to restore their militias to the same sort of strength that they once enjoyed for most of this country's history prior to the passage of the Dick Act in 1903 that created the National Guard. They need to restore the militias to some sort of meaningful counterweight to the power of the armies of the federal government. Right now, we don't have that. We've got the National Guard, which is a reserve component of the United States Army that's in state service most of the time, but at any time can be assumed control of by the federal government by a simple order cut from the Pentagon or orders from the commander-in-chief. So we need to have a militia that is independent of such things, and that needs to be true in all 50 states of the Union.
And I tell you something else. If the move is toward a central digital currency, then them states need to start thinking about printing their own. Because if they have a digital currency and way people are talking about they got the ability to turn it off at any time that they want, you don't want that. Have your own. That's on all the time for your use and your benefit.
Well, yeah. There's a lot of things that need to be fixed, I tell you. But there's some things I think that are more pressing than others. Right now, the ship of state is in such a mess. It's like I like to liken it to what happens to a warship in battle in a really intense scrap. You know, they shot the radar system away. They shot the main mast off. You got the after gun mount shot to pieces. The superstructure's holed and torn apart. You got fires all over the deck. It's a mess. It's been messed up. But the things you got to concentrate on are the holes beneath the waterline, the list, because the damn thing's at a 20-degree list, and you better start counter-flooding it. You got to get the bilge pumps working, and you got to get the damn thing back to dry dock so you can fix it. All the other things can wait until you get back to dry dock so you can fix it. We got things now. I'm talking about things that are happening below the waterline. That's what we got to concentrate on right now, because there are so many things wrong with this government right now and our republic. It's impossible to fix it all at once. It ain't going to happen. You got to concentrate on what's keeping it afloat.
You talk about the U.S. dollar. The U.S. dollar is going to be debased. And for those who don't know what debase is, take it like this. Back in the 1700s, a penny was worth a penny. It had a penny worth of copper in it. Today, it has zinc and copper coated. It's been debased. It ain't worth a penny no more.
Well, Federal Reserve System is one of those things we've got to address. Although that can wait for now, although it has to be addressed at some point, because the Federal Reserve primary duty is to stabilize the dollar, and they've completely gone away from their primary duty. The primary duty of the Federal Reserve was to ensure a stable dollar, and they completely neglected that, and now the only thing they're concerned about is the supply of money and its quantitative easing nonsense. That's why we got so much inflation.
Let me get 209. If it works. 209, I'm trying to get you on. Oh, there you are. 209, you're on.
Hey, what's going on with you? Hey, Sarge, we're charging you with desertion, man. We missed you Friday morning.
I didn't desert. That's not true. Now, see, you're hanging a calumny on me. That is just not so.
Hey, Donnie, now we're not going to let our conversation be hijacked with these enemies.
Shut up, Pianchi. I'm talking to Sarge, okay? That's
you
all I'm saying. No, man, shut up,
get
man. I am
the
enemy. You're right. Man, fuck you, Pianchi. Right,
there
I'm just talking to you, Sarge. You know, I'm just talking to Sarge. I'm out.
All right.
Well, Okay.
That's what I'm saying. That's what's wrong with the country. We put up with too much stuff hoping that a better and a brighter sunny day is going to come. It's not going to come. These people are demonic. If they were to give it up, they would all fall to dust, like the Wicked Witch of the West when you threw the water on her.
Well, who was that, by the way?
That was Chewbacca. He has a program on Blog Talk Radio on Friday morning at 9 a.m. and at other times throughout the week. So he was another Blog Talk host on Blog Talk.
Okay, Chewbacca. Okay, I got you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I can see, again, everybody loves Bianchi.
I would say, you knew who Bianchi was. Dory Bianchi. You make a lot of people mad, don't you?
Yeah, I think he does. Bianchi.
Well, you know why they hate... Wait a minute. You know why they hate me and Sarge? Because we tell white people what they're all about. That's why.
Well, no, you tell truth. Okay?
Well, that is the truth.
No, no, no. I'm talking in general.
I don't even like to give them that much credit. But, you know, I look at you as a human being and a human being that happens to be an American. That's what I look at you as. You know, hell, we
were
brought up.
Wait a minute, I'm female.
Sarge, was you brought up at some point in time in your life, was you having people trying to persuade you in that line of thinking?
Oh, absolutely. I believe fervently, wholeheartedly, in the teachings of Elijah Muhammad when he said that white people were a mutation created by the big-head scientist, Dr. Ifu, on the island of Patmos 6,000 years ago to bedevil the human race. I believed that.
Oh, wow.
So I'm just saying, I know how it works. They had me believing it.
Wow.
So I'm just saying, I understand how this works, and here's part of the problem. You see, oddly enough, part of this problem is that the forces that are seeking to undermine the United States and our cohesiveness as citizens are playing upon the guilt of the majority of the population, which happens to be Caucasian, and since the majority of people, whatever their race is, are basically decent people, they know that they are responsive to the idea that and the historical fact, atrocities and discrimination were conducted upon the black population in the United States from its very inception in 1776. Now, historically, they're acutely aware of this. They play upon this in order to make you have a feeling of guilt that is misplaced, that you have no accountability for, while at the same time they demand things involving wealth redistribution and unconstitutional privilege in order to attain power and wealth redistribution. It is a Marxist notion.
I agree.
And it's insidious.
I agree. But you know what's it's funny, and I don't know if Don can attest to this or not or anybody else, but to me, it's like racism is so much more active today than it was when I was growing up. And it is in the racism that's occurring is not, from what I see, really against black people. It's more against the whites. You're a racist if you, and because my skin's white, really? That does not make me a racist.
Well, let's put it this way.
If you support Trump, you're a racist.
Well, let's put it this way. I cannot precisely quantify as to whether racism is more pervasive amongst white people, for white people, against white people, for or against black people. I can't precisely quantify it. But this I can precisely quantify. Public acknowledgments or public expressions of racial resentment and blame are far more common against white people than against blacks. Far more today in 2023. It is acceptable in many circles to say these things that are clearly racist against white people and even Asians. Now,
yes,
that I can say with certainty. I'm not going to say that black people are more racist or white people. That may not be true. It may or may not be true in specific instances, surely. I can't say for
absolutely,
but publicly I know
probably,
it is.
That's probably what I was probably going for more so than on an individual basis. It's
yeah,
just like what you were saying.
Yes.
And it's just, it's crazy. And
Racism is an act. It's an act that has no respect for skin color. It's just like you got some blacks that look at old paintings. They weren't Polaroids back in the day, and they say that's us. That is not you.
Right.
Well,
not you at all. So that's the thing that you have. We got a bigger problem to solve, and that is the saving of the United States.
I agree.
All this
stuff
is a distraction. And those that don't want to be with that, leave them alone.
Well, I can tell you this much. Look at what I just referred to moments ago about the a program initiated by, or not initiated, but shared and assented to by the person who has now been confirmed as the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. A program specifically designed to artificially limit the numbers of white officers in the armed forces. And nobody, there was no great big public outcry condemning this.
Okay, but the sad thing is it's not out there in the public. It's not like a major public announcement either. You know, it's not like it's reported on the news or whatever. It was like on the low key that he's doing this. It's been reported, but not, you know, not out there. Don't push it. Don't let people really know.
I saw it come out at a congressional hearing where they actually interrogated the Secretary of Defense, the Secretary of the Army, and a couple other high-ranking government officials about it. Matt Gaetz was one of them. I think it was another one. Chip Roy was another one. He asked them pointed questions about this policy, and they tried to hem and haw and stutter, but they couldn't deny it.
But here, Sarge, how many people actually watch those hearings? And when those hearings are put onto our mainstream media, anything about those hearings, they are specifically clipped to project an agenda or a way that they want you to think. It's like when we were watching the news the other night, something said something about, instead of just saying this door, you know, closed, they'll say this bias door. It's like, well, wait a minute. What do you mean bias? Let me decide if it's bias. Just tell me what happened. You know, don't throw in those adjectives.
Mainstream media is the largest, more organized,
propaganda,
systemic racist organizations in the country. All you have to do is pay attention to what they
say. It's the biggest propaganda machine.
It's systemic racism.
Well,
propaganda.
I'll tell you.
And you know the good thing about it, that BL, all that stuff is dying out. It only had so much gas. And now they're scrambling to come up with some. See, they moved it from the general population. Now they don't took it to or their organization like you saw. I just got you talking about the military.
Well, I want you to tell me one major institution in the United States, other than perhaps the sporting institutions, where discrimination and racism is less of a factor than the armed forces of the United States. I can't think of a major public institution that is. Traditionally, at least certainly since the armed forces have been desegregated. Now the main criteria in the armed forces is merit. But that's steadily being eroded in favor of a sub rosa racial hierarchy. And we cannot have an armed forces that works like that. We just can't allow it. The armed forces is the best institution, I think, the best public institution in the United States. I mean, for me, the armed forces is the best education of my life. I am so grateful for what I learned from my service in the armed forces. I am so grateful, I cannot even begin to tell you what I learned about human beings, human nature, courage, cravenness, corrupt, you name it. My education, the best education of my life was my service in the armed forces. I wouldn't trade that, what I had in knowledge, for anything. And now all of that, the things that attract, look at the troubles they're having recruiting people, particularly in the combat arms. They can't get them.
No,
the Army, you take in back in 2008, 2009, no branch of the armed forces had any trouble meeting its recruiting goals. None of them, even in combat arms. Now they can't get people. Don't want to go for this insane, demented, lunatic wokeness. Heather has two mommies. Yeah, that makes me want to join combat arms. Jesus.
Yeah. Robert, welcome. Conservative Nation Media is in the chat room with Bring It Boy, California's Best. You're right, Sarge. You are right. Things. I'm not going to just pick on these liberals, you know, with Biden. You've got these rhinos in the Senate. Mitch McConnell.
It's all over the place.
Oh, God.
It's all over the place.
Yeah. It's no
pain. And then, Biden. See, when I look at it like that, and I'm curious of it, then I begin to believe Daniel and Kathy.
Uh-oh. That's starting to scare me.
Well, I mean, it has to be something.
Yeah.
You know, let me tell you something. Kids, because of the peer pressure, you got kids that go to an event and kind of say to stand up and say the Pledge of Allegiance. They don't stand up and put their hands on their heart. Early on, my grandson didn't do that either. So what I said, okay, I just let him go on and you learn. And he did learn.
Mm.
And
yeah.
Now he does. You see, now he does. But if you let your children be indoctrinated with all their crazy mess, and of course parents got it right, if they want to indoctrinate their kids like that, go ahead. Or leave other people the hell alone.
They can't do it, Bianca. They want power. I wish it was that simple. They're not going to do it until they – look, they criticize all the institutions of society until they – the reason they're doing it is to gain control of them. Once they gain control of them, then they're going to ruthlessly enforce every single diktat you could imagine from those very same institutions they just took control of.
You're right. Go with yours, your kids, your nieces and nephews, whatever, and do what you're going to do and leave us alone.
But then they couldn't take control of the institutions. They don't want to leave us alone. That's the whole point. They have to take control of what they criticize. When they take control of it, they will be ruthless using those institutions as leverage in order to impose their will upon us. Trust me in this.
Hey, I'm going to try to call Daniel real quick, you guys. Hang on. This is dialing. Let's see. I don't know how this works anymore.
So what part of Kathy and Daniel are you beginning to believe?
That's what scares me.
I know, right?
Mm-hmm.
They'll tell you.
Okay, I've talked with Daniel and Kathy as much as, you know, quite a bit. So, but they have a lot of different things that they believe. So what part are you believing?
Oh, it's ringing. Hold on. Go ahead, if you can talk over the... Yeah, Bianchi, what part
the
are
cabal?
You...
and all the deep state stuff.
He's not talking now. He's embarrassed.
I know.
Well, I guess nobody's going to answer.
Well, we've been hearing on alternative media.
I tell you.
Is that what you're...
I don't let these crazy things interrupt me and my food. I mean...
Yeah, you need right. calories.
So, I mean, seriously, are you talking about the theories that they've been talking about? I mean, I'm like with the cabal and the deep state and
well, we
all
always
that,
I believe.
I don't know.
We
well, we Kathy, Daniel, and I have gone deeper than that. Than
well,
you know.
I know you help
and,
us and tell us what you guys are talking about, what you're believing.
But is that what you're talking about, or are you talking about the aliens and the?
Gene.
Yeah.
What we're seeing in people today, these people cannot be human.
No, but there is the MK Ultra that, you know, to where
I
they are.
I don't know about no
MK
Ultra and all that stuff. These people, and we're witnessing out of the behavior of people, the tendency, the attitude, it's something wrong with these people beyond normal. Catching a cold or catching the chicken pox.
Well, no, that's what I'm talking about. The MK Ultra. It's a mind control. It's a total mind control.
Well, if you build a mind on a circuit board, how better you have to control it? I don't know.
I don't know. You know, I don't know. And there's something that I wonder about this. Are these people that we're up against, are they representatives of some sort of alien influence on mind and on reason itself? I really don't think so. You know what? I actually think it's, look, human nature has got polar opposites. You've got one end, you've got nobility, you've got courage, you've got self-sacrifice, you've got tolerance, compassion, mercy, generosity. That's one end of the spectrum of human nature. On the other end, you've got depravity, you've got evil, you've got tyranny, you've got murderousness. You've got licentiousness. You've got envy and resentment, okay? You got two different poles. I think all of this can be explained by human nature, because human nature is good and bad. The people we are dealing with, the people we're complaining about, they appeal to the worst aspects of human nature in their philosophy. Not the best, the worst. They incentivize the worst aspects of human nature. And it will come out if you do that, just like when you appeal to the best aspects of human nature, you tend to get that incentivized and elevated over the other things. So I think it depends upon the kind of things that people are exposed to. Right now, to a great extent, they are being exposed to the very worst incentives to disincentivize the best aspects of human nature. That's why we're saying, that's why it's so hard for us. We have even if we may fail to be the best, I know I do, I know I regularly fail to the best parts of human nature. I understand it. I recognize it. But I at least understand what I should be doing. These people don't even seem to understand what they should be doing. Doing the negative is the proper thing to do, is the best thing to do, is the best thing for the course of human development. It's grotesque. It is perverse. And they keep doing it, and they keep... You know, I mean, war is peace, slavery is freedom, and we've always been at war with East Asia. I mean, that's the way these people think. It is scary. I think they're recognizably human, just like Adolf Hitler was recognizably human. He would appeal to and give vent to the worst parts of human nature. Remember, human nature is not just good. That's why Jesus Christ had to come to redeem the sins of mankind, because he understood that is part of human nature. The bad is part, as much a part of human nature as is good.
Right. And Bianchi, here's Daniel, and you guys can talk with you and Gene. And go ahead, Daniel. How
hey,
you doing?
Hey, y'all. What's going on?
Daniel.
What you got, Bianchi?
Bianchi's. He was buying into what you guys are saying, and I was trying to pull out of him what he was talking about.
Well,
and,
yeah, because you're involved.
When
too,
I look at,
I know, right?
Were you listening,
yeah.
Daniel?
Yeah, yeah, but I
all
didn't,
right,
I didn't
well,
hear
you know
that.
What I'm talking about.
No, I was like in the bathroom or something, right here smoking a cigarette. I didn't hear the specific. Was it about the craziness?
I made reference that what we are witnessing with people today.
Yeah.
That they must not be human.
Exactly. Exactly. You know,
And you said that, and I said to some extent, no, we're witnessing the worst aspects of human nature being elevated. Not
well,
the best.
Sarge, what do you think about possession, demonic possession?
That's
you know,
what
you
I think it is demonic.
Yeah, you don't have to be possessed all day long. That's not the way possession works. It was like King Saul in the Bible. You know, he was possessed with a demon that troubled him. You know, and so he tried to kill King David, what was it, two or three times. This demon did, but the rest of the time, you know, King Saul acted out as king. He, you know, he wasn't slobbering at the mouth with red eyes. You know what I'm saying? Demons
right.
can possess you, you know, and I think a lot of that's going, I think a bunch of it's going on.
Well, you know, the ordeal that the character, that Linda Blair played the character in The Exorcist, that happened in St. Louis and with the Jesuits.
Yeah,
right.
St. Louis University. That was true. I can show you the houses on Broadway.
Oh, really?
Well,
that's
well, I'll tell you this, Daniel. Given the behavior of people I'm seeing today, it certainly is not difficult to describe demonic possession to it, and I'm certainly
right.
not about to discount it. Let's put it that way.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, I feel you.
Definitely
I think,
not.
I think a lot of it, you know, besides demonic possession, you know, I believe in this. Gene, don't believe the whole alien aspect of it. I don't know.
I believe those are demons.
Yeah, Gene believes there are, me and Mama believe they're possible hybrids. A lot of people are hybrids, especially your royalties in several countries. They've kept the same bloodline.
Oh, inbred.
Inbred. Yeah, exactly.
I believe in the inbreeding, yes. But I believe that the aliens, I'm doing air finger quotes, aliens that you refer to are demonic possession, or, you know, or demons. I don't believe
in the
aliens.
You know what,
Gene?
I believe in both. I believe both are going on.
I know really are the demonic guys.
Here's the thing, Gene.
I mean, you just look at Biden's eyes. I mean, a lot of times you just look at Biden's eyes and how black they are.
Yeah, I noticed that.
Literally black.
That's
right.
Adderall. That's Adderall. His pupils. His pupils expand because of the drugs he's taking.
I don't. No, it's demonic. In my opinion, it
so
is
too.
Demonic.
Well, you know, here's the thing. We've heard of these legends, and we've heard of all these phenomena. But when you start traveling around the world, and they have the same story to tell.
That's right.
No explanation.
That's right.
All these, Gene, all these people cannot be lying.
No.
It's something to this stuff.
All the writings on the cave walls are the same, and these people have never met. They're a world away.
Well,
and
a lot of scripture's that way, too.
A lot of what? I'm sorry.
Scripture.
Oh, yeah.
Certainly interesting to think about it. You know, I think maybe a little more exploration ought to be given to it. I mean, we got enough instruments that can reflect the electromagnetic spectrum that maybe they can pick up some sort of alien presence and spirit residing within a lot of these people. Maybe they need to attune them to the particular electromagnetic frequency or spectral holographic frequency, it'll pick them up.
Right. You know what,
right,
Todd?
Yeah.
I hate to tell you this, but my 38 special, you know what color the bullets are?
Silver.
Silver. They silver.
It might be a good idea. At least put a silver plating on whatever ammo you got.
Yeah.
Silver jacket.
I mean, Sarge, what do you know about the whole deal with CERN? You know, they have the longest tunnel. It's like 17 miles at CERN. And, you know, they're trying to find out, you know, how everything was created in the universe by colliding particles.
Are you talking about CERN? Are you talking about CERN in Switzerland?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. But not only have they been doing that, it's been an entire cover-up to bring up demons from, shit, I don't know where, but somewhere. You know, they've got all this dark magic and all this stuff. It's been...
Hold on.
It's came out.
Hold on just for a second, guys. Bianca, you got to hang up and call back in. And Lori Ann's not on right now because her phone messed up. She'll be calling back. But her show tomorrow night, Lucid Libertarian, tomorrow night, 9 o'clock on the East Coast, 6 o'clock on the West Coast. Check it out. It's a great show. She got a new partner. So check it out and find out who it is. Tomorrow night, Lori Ann, Lucid Libertarian, 6 o'clock on the West Coast, 9 o'clock on the Eastern Standard Time. There you go. Okay. Oh, yeah. And it's Joseph Gibson's got a show Tuesday night. Tuesday night, I believe it's 7 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. I listened to Friday night, last night, to Robert's show, which is a damn good show, Conservative Nation Media, and his co-host is Lori Ann. So check all these shows out because they're very informative and very good. Check them out Tuesday night at 7 and 9, I believe 9 o'clock, right, Robert? Talk to me, Robert. Anyway, he's not on. Anyway, check it out. Tuesday, Friday, Saturday, and you're all set. And no, that's UAW. Oh, yeah, Sunday. That's Lori Ann's show. Good. Okay, go ahead, Daniel. You're on.
You know, I don't think anybody, Donnie, you've been watching a lot of the same, we've been watching a lot of the same stuff on, like, the, what's it called, the alien, ancient aliens and stuff like that.
Right, right.
We can't deny the fact that, you know, possibly we were not the first ones on this earth. We were the first humans. But there possibly were entities here before us, you know. There's too much, not proof, but hearsay, you know, from tribes, from the Aborigines, from all of these natives to these countries. They have passed the same story down thousands of years.
Yeah.
So there's something to it, you know. They're not talking about Thor here, but they're talking about something. And all the drawings are the same. So we cannot say that, hey, you know, we were the first ones here. There's nobody else. You know, there's, I believe, hundreds of, possibly hundreds, of species living inside of the earth. You know, like I said, galactically, 90% of all inhabitants of all planets live inside the Earth. We are part of the 10% that live topside. That's all we know, topside. But 90%. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say earlier when you were talking about the demons, the portals
that are out there
that you're talking about. For demons?
Yes. Yes.
And those Ouija boards don't do us any good either.
I don't know.
Demons as well.
Kathy, you are on. I think that's Patty.
I'm here.
Oh.
Hey, Mama.
Hey, I was listening to y'all on the internet, and I heard y'all bad-mouthing me and Daniel. So I called Daniel, told him to call in the show.
Yeah, we bad-mouth you all the time, Kathy, all the time.
Bad-mouthing us. I think Bianca said, Kathy and Daniel. I called in and said, Daniel, they're talking about us. Get on the show.
Who's breathing?
Oh.
Oh, so breathing awful heavy.
George was talking about people.
Adrian, Cinnamon, or Gene talk.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Kathy.
Sarge is talking about the different sides of people's personalities. You know, wherever there's a negative, there's a positive. Where there's good, there is bad. Where there's hot, there's cold. It, you know, there's all kinds of comparisons. But,
yeah,
you know, Daniel and I have talked about this a lot because I see a lot of it on the internet, see some of it on TV. You know, there's more people just going nuts over nothing, over nothing, you
French
know.
Fries.
And I told Daniel, I said, something is wrong. This isn't normal for these people
mm-hmm.
to behave like this. You know, I don't know how. I'm just speculating, you know. Could, you know, like maybe the shots we've taken in the past.
How about our
dormant
food? How about
what about our
food?
What about the CIA and that MK Ultra thing?
Yep.
You know, I mean, this is not normal for people to just go off and totally trash a restaurant because their coffee's not hot enough. You know,
right.
Something is wrong with these people. Something has happened to them in their lifetime
yeah.
to get to this point, you know, to where they cannot control
you know,
their emotions anymore.
Or they can
so,
go out. They can go out and buy drugs now. That's pretty, you can pretty much buy whatever you want, not getting in trouble like you
right.
used to. So it could be drugs. And by the way, Lorianne, I gave your plugs for you while you were gone. And
oh, why, thank you, thank you.
You're welcome.
I
welcome.
Appreciate it.
Well,
you know what? The worst thing is when you got people killing the unborn.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
They have several of those killings in that womb. Well, at that point,
yeah.
that womb is haunted. And you try mm-hmm. to conceive a child and form them, and that child is growing up in a haunted house. You wouldn't
yeah.
live in Amityville. Come on now, would you?
You're right.
Are you telling me?
Well,
hold on.
You know what, guys? I'm not so sure that there's necessarily any greater proportion of people who exhibit the kind of mental illness that Gabby was talking about. There may be. I'm not about to say that there isn't, because I haven't done any studies or read anybody who's done any studies on it. But let's put it this way. Mental illness is like human nature on a spectrum. You got people who are mildly disturbed but completely functional. They have a mild degree of mental illness. And you got people all the way on the other end to totally insane. Now, in between, you've got gradations of behavior. What would, I think, mitigate that mental illness and tamp it down was the fact that we had strong societal strictures in place that did exactly that. We had expectations of behavior. And the people who are on the mild end of being mentally disturbed would respond to those strictures and those incentives to act the same as it could possibly be, and we didn't see it to the extent we do. What we've got today is a world that tells you your self-esteem and your sense of identity and your sense of your self-actualization is more important than almost any other consideration. And I think those people who were in the past who were disturbed and who would, on their own, since they weren't completely insane, respond to the societal strictures that were in place and would tamp down their own behavior no longer feel incentivized to do that. That's why this explains a lot of it.
But no, I'm gonna. Well, it kind of does. But let's go a little deeper than that. The vaccines that you took as a child are totally different from the vaccines that somebody that took 15 years later, that are totally different from the vaccines that are given now to children. Autism, and so many people in the last 20 years that have given their children the vaccine, they have gone from a normal child, normal developing child, to an autistic child overnight. I believe a lot of those vaccines that are being given to these children, I mean, they're giving them so many at one time, are causing a lot of these other, the mental illnesses and autism and the problems that we have with a lot of these children today. Outside of absent parents.
A lot of them are adults now, though.
Right. Well, but I'm just saying, even today, a lot of parents, thank God they have access to research that I didn't have access to. But and they're choosing not to vaccinate their children, and I'm like, thank God, you know, because so many kids, I mean, are having so many problems after they get vaccinated.
Okay.
I think that contributes a lot to the mental illness and the autism.
Something's up. My niece was just recently diagnosed with epilepsy. And now I don't know where this could have come from if it wasn't for the jab. I know she got jabbed for her work. We don't have epilepsy in our family at all on either side, neither on her dad's side. I asked her dad, I'm like, does anybody in your side of the family have epilepsy? No. So, you know, how do we explain this? You know, how do we explain my niece, you know, getting diagnosed with epilepsy? And, you know, and she said that her seizures were only happening, you know, the last couple of years or so, which happens to coincide with getting jabbed. And so it's like, something's up, man. Something is up.
Well, epilepsy.
You know, we've never had epilepsy in our family.
Well,
but
epilepsy,
even the childhood vaccines, the immunization vaccines, then, you know, that they, the how many ever before 2 years of age, and they're giving them five to six, seven at one time. One time.
Well, epilepsy is a disease. So you're saying then that the vaccines also contribute to disease as well as mental illness, or does one predominate over the other?
I think it contributes to both.
Yes.
Cancer.
Epilepsy is a neurological disease, and you bet your ass that vaccines can cause what do you think the jab has been? There's case after case after case of neurological problems, people reacting from getting the COVID shot.
I mean, we covered all this, Sarge.
Absolutely can be a result of it.
I'm surprised, Sarge, you don't know that. I mean, we covered all this. Even on my podcast, I talked to the health department out in California. They openly admitted the stuff is poison they're putting in there. It's killing people. I mean, I tricked them. They didn't know they were doing an interview with me. The guy was joking around with me. I mean, I exposed them. I mean, you know, it's all a lie. Everything.
No. Well, we already know. I've been to the CDC, and I have read the adverse incident reporting section where they report a correlation between the shot and adverse reactions to the shot. So definitely, I'm definitely aware of that. But I think
heart problems, heart disease, especially in children and teens, I mean, that was never there before.
Oh, yeah, that's
I mean,
for sure.
You know,
that's for sure.
Look at these ads
and miscarriages. Miscarriages
and,
today, outrageous.
Yeah.
Miscarriages or inability to conceive.
Yeah, but young people dropping dead of heart attacks, that's something I just never heard in this kind of quantity before.
Well,
and
But leave them with the athletes.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They're able to explain why. Because young people have such healthy autoimmune systems that this vaccine triggers their autoimmune systems to go haywire and go on a rapid overdrive that causes these coronary fibrillations.
Remember back in January when we were watching the playoffs, who fell, who just collapsed on the field? After
he did take a hard hit to the chest, though, that might have interrupted his heart.
Hard of a head. If you watch it, his hit was not any harder than any other time.
Sometimes all it takes is a moderately hard
hit
at precisely the right time in the heart rhythm to disrupt it. Now, that has been known as...
Why was he the first?
Because... athletes do have stronger circulatory and heart systems, and it really takes an absolute perfect timing to get it to happen.
All the years of the NFL, or in professional football, why all of a sudden was he the first?
And then to remember, you can never discount the individual circumstances of the person who gets it. He might have been an anomaly. I'm not going to discount anything. I'm just not saying with certitude any one thing could have been responsible for Damlin's collapse. Could have been a combination of factors.
I would attribute it to the COVID shot. But it's happening over and over in soccer.
Well,
in basketball, in
now
hockey,
that I agree.
In cross country or running.
Yeah, I agree on that. I definitely agree with that.
It's happening everywhere. So the thing that it could be an anomaly because, he got up after that. He got up, shaking it off, and then he was down. So I would highly disagree.
I don't necessarily want to look at it with Hamlin's particular incident, but on the other cases you mentioned where healthy athletes are resting, they're either asleep or just wake up, there's no physical activity involved, and they all of a sudden have a coronary. Now, on those, I would say the most likely cause of it is the shot, the clot shot, I call it.
When they're passing out on the field, prior to COVID shots, how often did you see an athlete pass out on the field?
Oh, no, not under any circumstances did you see it hardly ever. Not under any circumstances, whether they're resting or whether they're playing, you didn't hardly ever see it.
Under Detroit Lions, Chuck Hughes was running. He is a wide receiver, and he was coming back from a play. Didn't get touched. Fell dead right there on the field. So,
it just happens sometimes, folks.
You can't keep blaming it on a shot.
I'm not saying it doesn't happen sometimes, but we've seen it way too much.
Yeah, way too much. Way too much.
For it to be happening in a blue moon.
You don't get a 1,800% increase in myocarditis and heart problems and sudden death, coincide with the shot. You don't see that.
Yeah.
When you see numbers that high, it's undeniable.
And the CDC acknowledges a correlation.
Yeah.
That's the thing about it. They're acknowledging that there is a correlation, but then they don't want to make a definitive statement about it, but they're certainly acknowledging the likelihood of some connection.
And that football player that fell over, you're not going to hear anything. The NFL is not going to say a damn thing about it because they'll get their ass sued. So,
but what's crazy is the CDC acknowledging that, but they're still pushing and, incentivizing you to get your, and trying to make you feel guilty if you, didn't get the first shot or you need a booster.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, It's insane. It's insane.
Well, what I love is here's the other way that they're covering up, because now, like, I even got an email from Kaiser Permanente, you know, stop in and get all of your vaccines up to date all at once in one appointment for your convenience. And it's like, you know, including your booster shot. So it's like, oh, how convenient is that? So you're going to get your COVID booster, and then you're going to get, you know, one or two or three or four or however many other vaccines at the same time, which therefore makes it harder to pinpoint when there's an adverse reaction which vaccine did it. And so that's why they're encouraging everybody, go get all of your vaccines all at one time. You know,
well, it's flu,
part of the
shingles,
cover-up. It's literally part of the cover-up.
It's flu, shingles, COVID, and pneumonia are the four main vaccines that they're trying to get for adults. Go get your flu, pneumonia, shingles, and COVID shot.
And here's the worst part of it. The worst part of it is in the age range that's being affected by this sudden onslaught of myocarditis and circulatory problems, for them, the risk of a serious injury or death from COVID is statistically almost non-existent, even if you get.
Exactly. Exactly. But what's really sad and scary to me is I'm in contact with a lot of older people, and they have been scared to death. They have been scared to death, and they think that they have to have this the COVID shot. They have been they're so scared.
Oh man, have they ever? I think it's the biggest scam in the history of medicine. In public epidemiology, this whole thing, this rush to get the shot no matter what. No, all age groups, even the age groups most at risk. I'm not talking about those with comorbidities. I'm just talking about the age range that is most at risk. They've got a 96 to 97% of survival if they get COVID. And the most at-risk age range. Let's not talk about young children and healthy young adults. It's almost statistically non-existent for them. This is crazy.
I agree. It is insane.
Joseph, I went to your site. Very, very cool. I like that. All right.
You know the people that got this. You know the people that's got the strongest immune system on the planet? Them Africans.
Against this,
They walk around with shoes off. They don't been exposed to everything.
Malaria, but
I've been in villages where the kids will be one next to the other drinking out of a trough, and the cows on the other side drinking out of the same trough. So right there, they're sharing. If there's one creature on this planet that I wish could talk and it could tell a story, it would be a gorilla. As long as their species been around, they would have had to see every damn thing.
I want an alligator, crocodile. That's prehistoric.
I'll tell you one thing about the folks in Africa, they take a lot of hydroxychloroquine as prophylactic against malaria and hydroxychloroquine. And ivermectin has been shown to be effective against COVID, both of those medications.
But they use them for malaria and what else? There was another one that they'd use it for. I can't remember what it was. There's two major.
Sleeping sickness, malaria. I think sleeping sickness. The CC fly?
I've had malaria.
Maybe.
It ain't no joke. But it's different. And the thing about malaria, if you...
Was it meningitis?
I had it, too.
Well, see, here's the thing with malaria. If you go to one of those countries and get bit by that mosquito and inject that parasite in you, and you come back to the States, and 6 months later you come down sick and go to the hospital, well, the hospital is going to look at common things unless you tell them that you was in a malaria infested country.
I had
look for.
I had recurring attacks for a year and a half after I got back from Vietnam. And so they got all that shit got out of my liver. They said it had to work its way out of my liver, and they kept giving me medications till it all went away. I had recurring bouts of malaria for about a year and a half. It would steadily get less bad, but it would occur every so often. I get chills and sweats and fever. Just like, it was not as severe as when I first got it, but it was regularly reoccurring for quite some time after I got back.
And see, I went so many times, I got to the point where I could drink the local water. You know, they've got bottled water, just like you got in the store here. That's for tourists. And most tourists stay in what they call five-star hotels. The milk is pasteurized. You go to Egypt, the milk's not pasteurized. You drink the milk, you're going to get sick. Might have a week of diarrhea or something like that.
But Montezuma's revenge.
That is a different part of the world. I tell the young men, don't be having sex with these women because your body is not used to the bacteria that you would get just from even sweaty body against sweaty body.
Yeah, you got to get immunity for local pathogens because they do differ from location to location. And if your immune system hasn't exposed to it, sometimes you get exposed to it and your immune system completely obliterates the pathogen or gives you an immunity to it without you even knowing about it. Other times you get mild infections or symptoms. Sometimes it's severe. It depends on the individual, your immune system, and the strength of the pathogen they get exposed to. It can vary. But it's always a risk.
Well, it is a risk just to walk outside.
I know a person who caught it in Ghana and went to Egypt and died weeks later. So it does happen. And I never did take the shot. You know, when you get ready to go over to a foreign country, you go to your local health clinic and they would give you the shots that you need, like yellow fever and this. I never did take this stuff.
Oh, man. I lost track of the number of shots I would get anytime I went overseas. I mean, it was a whole suite of them they would give us. But remember, though, the shots we got back then were proven over time. I mean, they've been like decades in testing on people and everything else before they were approved for general use. So there weren't
the
that many adverse reactions.
And the formula remained the same. They
right.
started changing the formulas.
Right, right, exactly. And they were proven over time. This thing is still an experimental vaccine.
Well, your body, the cells, your body cells store that information, that immune information in your bone marrow. And it's very clever. If your body comes in contact with something that it hasn't in a long time, them cells would be dispatched to the library and get what it needs to have to wage that war. I mean, that stuff does happen. When your eyes water, that's an immune response. When your nose becomes snotty, that's an immune response. Your acidity in your saliva, that's an immune response. There's the three prominent ways that something can get into your body, your eyes, and also your ears. Is not earwax real bitter? Yeah, that's an immune response.
any mucous membrane.
You can absorb it through your skin.
I know some people that put their feet in the Nile River, and that water down around Aswan is as clear as crystals, clear water from the store. But it has parasites in it, and they will enter through your skin, through your feet. The next thing you know, you might have your feet or your legs swelling up. Whereas the people there, the kids swim in it. They drink the water out the Nile.
Yeah, I think one of the best things you can do if you're going to go out of the country, like once you get there, find a place that sells local raw honey. That's one of the best things you can do to boost your immune system when you go to a new country or a new area, even around the United States. Your local raw, unfucked with honey, because that is the result of the bees that are collecting everything from all the local plants in that area. It will enhance your immune system, and honey is also antibacterial and antifungal. So, you know, if you're consuming the local raw honey, you're boosting your immune system in all kinds of different ways. And it's localized, you know, so you are getting kind of whatever you are exposed to, you're consuming something that's totally local, and you're preparing your body to encounter more new varieties of plants and stuff like that, in addition to the antibacterial and antifungal qualities that honey has.
You know what? Then if you are injured, you know, have a wound or whatever, you can use the honey to as an antiseptic on your wound.
Yeah, you can do the honey. You can just take a heifer cow and kiss it in the mouth, smooch it.
Yeah, well, I'm not about to get romantic with a cow, but I tell you this much though. I don't know why we're disregarding centuries of sound epidemiological practice for this particular one disease. It's got to make you go, why are we doing this way? We didn't do it for any other disease or pathogen ever in the history of epidemiological practice. But all of a sudden, they came up with COVID, and all the rules had to change. We started to quarantine healthy populations, something heretofore never heard of before. Even during the bubonic plague, they didn't do that.
You know what they do over there when you have those missionaries or those health people come into a village to start immunity, giving people shots? They take that individual and throw his butt down and take a needle and stick him and stand back and see what happens. They do. Zuma done it down in South Africa. They do.
Yeah, well, that's interesting. But I tell you, though, like I said, I've never heard before. I looked in the past when they had handled epidemics in the past. They never would quarantine large segments of the healthy population. Yes, they would isolate sections of the population and quarantine them in localized outbreaks. But general mandates like they did during the scope, never done before. Never, ever, ever. And I think the reason for it, to a great extent, was to not only see what they could get away with controlling us, but to provide the basis to steal a presidential election through universal mail-in balloting.
Well, that, and they were trying to make your immune system weak as well, because you were not out exposing yourself as you normally would.
Yeah, herd immunity. They didn't want
exactly.
Herd immunity to take place.
Yeah, COVID was just a gift that kept on giving, wasn't it? You know,
wasn't it
every single facet.
It's right up there with environmentalism and global warming as some of the biggest scientific frauds ever perpetuated on the world itself.
I agree.
Well, Rand Paul wrote a book where he's got emails from Fossey and his going back and forth with whoever he was talking to. Were they admitting the very thing, hell, the things that Donald Trump said?
Oh, man. I wish he'd have fired that bastard when he had the chance.
No, those people need to be put in the gallows, man.
Man.
Because if they tried it this time and they didn't quite get away with it, well, next time they won't make those mistakes.
Well, they need to go down to Gitmo. He's the firing squad.
Fauci was no doubt about it the most destructive public official in the history of the United States with his advice that all these states decided to adopt. They weren't required to adopt any of these mandates. They decided to do it because it coincided with their own objectives.
Well, he goes back to the days of AIDS. He goes back to the time of AIDS. They made that one documentary movie on YouTube right now called And the Band Played On.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And Dr. Judy, Dr. Judy, like, it starts with an M. Mayorkas, something like that.
Mayorkas?
She used to work under Fauci at the NIH during the time of, she's the most outspoken person.
Mayorkas.
About AIDS, about all this stuff.
The one that ain't killed him.
Well, we sure got bamboozled on that one.
With Fauci, though, is what, look how much he flip-flopped. At first, no, you don't need a mask. Now you need a mask. No, you don't need a mask. Now you need three masks. Now you don't need a mask. Now, you know what I mean? It was like, oh, my gosh, man, make up your mind. Make up your mind.
I think we made our mind up, and we said, to hell with it. You know?
Yeah.
Exactly.
No,
and, you know, the trying to stop the COVID virus with a cloth mask is trying to stop a mosquito with a chain link fence. It ain't going to work.
Yep.
It never did work.
Exactly.
And they're going to try to do it again.
Yeah. And this time they might actually have a disease that might be worth all of the restrictions. We're not going to believe them because they cried wolf with COVID.
Yeah,
they even have race-specific viruses.
Yeah, COVID was race-specific, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It seemed to be.
That's no lie. Listen, we were doing a project at a Monsanto plant. It was either Mallinckrodt or Monsanto. I think it was Monsanto. We was coming down from the upper floors on the elevator, and before we reached the bottom floors, some scientists got on white jackets. And we got to shooting the breeze with them. They said that they perfect viruses that can kill certain people in this elevator. We could let it loose, and everybody wouldn't be affected. So he was looking at me awful hard, but what could I say, Sarge?
Yeah. Oh, and by the way, just to make you aware of it, the state of Israel has officially declared war on Hamas. The reason I'm bringing it up now is they're not just a state of war like when they went into Lebanon in the 1980s and that sort of thing. They just did military excursions. The Knesset, I think, is officially declared war, and that carries with it a whole host of diplomatic protocols that otherwise would not apply. That's why it's so significant. They have declared war.
Whoa. Well, I'll tell you what, that's a justified war, if you ask me.
Well, declaration of war changes a whole lot of things diplomatically, just letting you know. So I don't know where it's going to wind up. The only hope for us, for the world, really, is if they can end it quickly, and there's no assurance of that. If this thing drags on, it ain't no telling where it might wind up.
You're right. Damn. Yeah. This isn't good.
And right now, the death toll, the official death toll is over 200.
What, did Hamas claim?
I wonder if poor Zelensky is going to get his budget cut. We have to divert funds over to help assist Israel now. See you later, Zelensky. Good luck.
Sarge, have Hamas declared responsibility?
I haven't seen the official acknowledgement of it, but I'm pretty sure the Israelis have narrowed down. Look, that multiple rocket launch attack, it didn't come from just an isolated bunch of terrorists. And when you're using that kind of hardware and that kind of ordnance, it had to come from an outfit with international ties and a lot of money.
Hey, well, Lorianne. I was seeing that Israel ignored a lot of warnings, just like 9/11 and our government. You know, they had warning after warning after warning that was going to happen. And
okay, if you believe that's
for
true,
it,
then
now here we are.
I got some property in Arizona for you. But they're not. Our government's not going to send funds to help Israel, even though they're our ally. They won't do it because you got. Like Omar and all those that are totally against Israel. They don't want to do anything for Israel. And they won't.
Check this
well,
out.
They don't. They might have objections, but I don't think that there's enough people in Congress right now that would vote against more foreign aid going to Israel more than we already provide to them. I think that this is just going to be another way to siphon more money out of the United States government.
Yeah.
Well, Israel ain't exactly like Ukraine. I mean, Israel has got a defense capability that Ukraine doesn't have. They got their own defense industry. They got normally a very good intelligence service. It looks like it fell down on the job on this one. But normally their intelligence services are the best in the world. And so I don't think they necessarily would need the kind of aid that Ukraine does. They've been in a state of war. They've been in a state of war since 1948.
They haven't needed our aid for years, yet we still give it to them. You know, they haven't been in a perpetual state of war. I mean, every single year we give Israel foreign aid. Why would we stop now?
Well,
that makes
actually,
no sense. They haven't needed it, but now they're saying they need it.
No, the United States never gave foreign aid to Israel until after the Camp David Accords. I mean, if you look at the weaponry that Israel was using, say, in the Six-Day War and all of that, up to maybe Yom Kippur, most all of it was bought in the international arms market because we weren't giving them aid. It wasn't until the Camp David Accords, when they signed the Camp David Accords, and Egypt and Israel agreed to abide by them. Part of that agreement was we would give both Egypt and Israel money every year as long as they abided by the Camp David Accords that they signed. So all the years, Egypt was providing its own arms.
And I'm not in front of my computer to look, but when was the Camp David Accord?
1976 or 78.
There you go. Decades of foreign aid going to Israel when they don't really need it.
Yeah, but I said we weren't giving it throughout Israel's existence. You know, I mean, even during the Yom Kippur War, it wasn't official. The United States gave aid to Israel. Israel was buying weapons from the United States as part of a weapons agreement, like many other countries buy arms for the United States, but there wasn't an official policy of foreign aid. And then Nixon, remember what Nixon did during Yom Kippur when Israel had all those armor losses? He combed out the armories of the National Guard and Reserves all across the United States and was sending American tanks to Israel to make up for their tank losses. But that was the first time that anything that happened in the entire history of Israel.
Yeah,
they should be able to defend themselves at this point. They've gotten enough aid from us over the years that they have plenty of defense, but I don't think that's going to stop them from asking.
Well,
you know, just watch. I wonder how long it'll take.
Well, remember,
you know,
though,
hey, America, give us some funding.
Yeah, but, Lori, the aid they're getting now right now is by treaty. The Senate ratified the treaty. So we're treaty obligated to give them this aid. It's not just a matter of, you know, appropriations. The Camp David Accords were negotiated by Carter with Egypt and Israel, and by the Senate, it was made as a treaty. The Senate ratified the treaty. That's why they're getting the aid. As long as both the parties agree to abide by the terms of the accord, that aid's got to continue as long as the treaty's in effect.
Hey, guys, I got to play this real quick for Dr. Anastasia Maria Lopez. Lopez.
Because of very, very high medical costs and a lack of willingness to say, you know, is spending $1 million on that last 3 months of life for that patient, would it be better not to lay off those 10 teachers and to make that trade-off in medical costs? But that's called the death panel, and you're not supposed to have that discussion.
No, thank you. Okay. Go ahead, kids. And we do have Bring It Boy. jail.
Hey, where's John Doe been?
I don't know. Don't know. He was here last week. Where were you?
I was here last week.
Yeah.
He came in late, though. You might have missed him.
My phone did die last week.
Yeah, because last week you got hung up on.
Yeah,
he
came
he
in late.
Yeah, Joe, yeah. Everything hung up last week, I think.
No, my phone, I put in the chat, and Lorraine kind of laughed, and then she said that hers did, too.
Yeah, hers died, too.
Hey, Sarge, you still got that cold?
Not so much anymore. It's almost all gone. Just a little bit congested, very slightly.
I didn't notice that difference in you until you came off of that program where you was arguing with them fools. They don't affect you, man.
Maybe they did. Maybe they did. Maybe it's electromagnetic spectrum infection. You never know.
Who knows? I'm getting myself a drink before I'm back.
I need to get with you, Donnie, so we can get that schedule for if you're still going to have it. I don't know.
Yeah, we're going to have it, but I just want to see what's going on with UAW right now. And as soon as we get some clarification on that, we'll set that up.
Well, Donnie.
Yes, sir.
I don't know if you heard it or not, but there's a lot more discussion as to how this electrical vehicle mandate is messing up the auto industry. Have you not heard?
Yeah.
I mean, lot more discussion about it. It's part of the reason they're running deficits.
Yeah.
Listen,
man, that's savages, those people. They're showing video now of Israel, how they the Hamas people are kidnapping civilians and everything. Those people are savages, man. That's not that type of warfare is disgusting. They're kidnapping women and children and then parading them around the streets. I mean, that's not war. That's savagery right there. Those people right there should be just nuked. Zap them all right now. You know.
Oh, well, that. You should have seen China and Japan and Russia and everybody else. Russian used to nail women up to the side of a barn like a crucifix.
Oh, I know. China, too, yeah. China's an evil country, I know. But you got these bleeding hearts out there. They're people, too, you know, like the North Koreans. You know, they're people, too. Those leaders are evil. They're evil, pure evil. I mean, those regimes.
Joe, they lost 450 people today. They have a population of 9 million. Their loss ratio is far worse than ours on 9/11. We're going to have to respond to this.
Yeah. It's going to lead to World War III. That's what's going to happen because they're going to attack Iran. He just announced it. That's what I was just watching right now. He just announced it. He says, we're going after Iran because they that's what he said. So right there, that's global war right there. If the United States does not back Israel, then which that's what it says. It's gonna, you know, who knows what's going to happen there. But
you know, if Iran take out Israel, you know who's going to be next, Sarge? Saudi Arabia.
You think? Yeah. You think?
Yeah, Iran can't take out Israel. They got one of the best militaries in the world, Israel. Their Air Force is the best in the world, actually. They rank right up there with the United States.
Yeah, Israel has an excellent military capability and even better intelligence capability. Again, I'm at a loss to explain why they were caught so completely flat-footed with this. Their intelligence service is par excellence. It's absolutely I think it's better than ours. So, you know, I mean, but nonetheless, they do have an excellent military. They're not Ukraine. They're a lot better equipped to defend themselves in Ukraine, at least as far as what they're up against in that region. So they are capable, as Laurie said, they're capable of defending themselves. The only question is, to what extent is this going to embroil other powers? That's the question. And that's the wild card in all this mess.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And we got Joe Biden at the helm here, you know, that's the global leader here. But, you know, what a joke. His foreign policy is a joke.
Yeah.
Well, it would be a joke if it was funny, but it just goes to show you this is serious. And think about it, Joe. If the circumstances ensue, Kamala Harris might be commander-in-chief in the midst of all this shit.
Oh, God.
Would you please,
oh, Lord.
Would you please at least consider that possibility so we can do what we can and negate it when and if it occurs?
We're in trouble.
Damn right.
Hey, guys, it's been real. It's been fun, but I'm going to go to bed. Have a great night.
You do the same, Gene.
Pleasant dreams, Gene. It's been great talking to you.
You too. Good night, everyone.
Good night, Gene.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, just think about Kamala. It's bad enough Joe Biden is commander-in-chief right now. Think of it with Kamala Harris there and the puppet masters pulling her strings. Good Lord.
I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. There's so much stuff going around on the internet. Yeah, I don't know what to believe anymore.
Well, all you got to do is ask yourself. We know who predominates, who's got the high ground of the media, the culture, and politics right now. So think to yourself, whatever you hear, how does it benefit the elites and the oligarchs? And then you know what to believe. How does it either help them or how does it hurt them? And then you know what likely the truth is.
Well, know what I'm afraid of? I'm afraid that I'll be 90 years old. I remember when Donnie opened up the show, he was talking about his friends or whatever that are older and they're in bad shape or whatnot. And I was reflecting back on myself. You know, look, if we're going to do this in this country, if there's going to be a war, I want it now. While I'm in shape, I'm alert, and I got, you know what I mean? I don't want to be 80 years old and be at the mercy of my enemies. You know,
I know what you mean. I feel the same way. It's got to happen. Let it be now.
Yeah,
no
I'm scared.
One knows the time and place.
No, I don't know.
Thousands protesting this wildly unpopular government. This is the kind of thing that unites a country. When you send 2,200 rockets overnight into Israel, do the internal protests in Israel fall away as Israelis rally around Benjamin Netanyahu, who will clearly come down on Hamas in Gaza with an iron fist?
Yeah, I was just in Israel covering those protests against that judicial effort by Netanyahu. And, you know, there's a lot of anger in Israel, particularly in Tel Aviv, against Benjamin Netanyahu. This is a deeply divided country. Benjamin Netanyahu's efforts to try to railroad through his judicial, what he calls it, reforms, you know, that was very, very contentious there, very controversial. I couldn't think of a better gift for Benjamin Netanyahu right now than this kind of incursion. He can now position himself, as he has repeatedly throughout his very long tenure running Israel, he can now say, I am the sole protector of this nation. If you go against me, look at what you're up against. And that is what we're seeing right now. He will undoubtedly, once the smoke clears, and we don't know when that's going to be, I mean, this looks like a very hot conflict and one that we haven't seen in a very long time. As you mentioned, 50 years since that Yom Kippur War, we're going to be seeing Benjamin Netanyahu, this very contentious leader of Israel, a divided country. He's going to come out, very sure he's going to come out and say that I am the sole protector of this country. Look at the threat that we're facing, not just from the Palestinians, but from our neighbors. If the Arab neighbors of Israel actually participate and join the calls by Hamas to participate in this fight against Israel, he will be able to say that he is the sole protector. And this is a very, very big gift for Benjamin Netanyahu.
This is a point that you were making, Eamon, that for Benjamin Netanyahu, who argues that he's the guy who can keep Israel safe from the Palestinians, now he's got his opportunity.
One thing you got to remember about Netanyahu was a combat soldier in Israeli Special Forces in the IDF.
Yep.
This guy saw a lot of combat, firsthand, close quarters, infantry combat. Yeah, he was wounded on multiple occasions. He was involved in the raid on Lebanon in 1968. He was involved in the rescue of that hijacked Sabrina Flight 571. I mean, he's seen the elephant, man. He knows the elephant at first hand. He ain't no stranger to battle or fighting. If you got to have a commander-in-chief, like, you want to have somebody like Netanyahu who understands it at the highest level and the lowest level. I mean, I'm talking about grunt infantry, fire team level. He understands combat. So I'm just saying, I don't know how it's going to turn out for Israel, but they got the right guy in there. He knows the full spectrum of what it takes to wage war.
Yeah.
First hand. He ain't no dilettante. He was a commando.
Do you remember that they did a movie out of that hijacking plane there? I remember that when they went in and rescued him, the special forces. They killed everybody, and I think some hostages got killed too. I mean,
you're thinking about Entebbe. There's only three hostages that got killed. Only one of the commandos was killed, and that was Netanyahu's brother, Yoni.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he was killed. He was the only commando that got killed. Three of the hostages got killed. They rescued all of the others, and they pretty much wiped out the forces that were holding them hostage. It was a very successful operation by any measure. It was considered the gold standard in special operations for decades.
They even had German nationalists on that hijacking crew.
Yeah, they were the Bader Meinhof gang. They were Bader Meinhof gang. They were a bunch of Reds, stone Marxist Reds.
Well, there's a lot of evil out there in the world. There's a lot, and that's what I'm saying. This country, look at all the people that have crossed over the border. That on, you know, you don't think that there's some bad people within those ranks that have come across the border?
I do. Probably hundreds of them.
Yep. And they're just waiting.
Yeah, he's at the ring,
too. Well, how many rockets was fired?
About 2,000, over 2,000.
How many men would it take to fire off 2,000 rockets over?
Well, you got to figure out. You got to figure they probably have a couple batteries of rocket launchers, I believe. They usually organize these things along the Soviet pattern or the Russian pattern. And in a typical Soviet multiple launch rocket system, they probably got about 8 or 9 launchers. So with a rate of fire that they have, and maybe each launcher maybe having a rate of fire of about 50 rounds per minute, you probably would have had to have at least a battalion's worth, I would think.
Israel's intelligence didn't notice all that stuff going down and that movement?
Well, I don't know if they did or not. I mean, I think the picture on that's going to have to wait and see, but it would seem that they didn't. We can't say for sure right now until the fullness of time reveals the truth.
And what happened to the Iron Dome? I wonder.
It's not perfect, obviously. And if they launch these missiles with a low trajectory, I don't think Iron Dome could stop them.
Yeah.
I think Iron Dome is for higher trajectory missiles.
Well, what I'm trying to get at, we can hear what we hear, but it may not be everything.
Because you got to remember, these are rockets, not guided missiles. They're unguided rockets. When they get launched, they're ballistic. They go ballistic. And whatever their ballistic trajectory is the way they follow. You can't change their course once they're in flight.
Well, if you listen to the audio and you watch the video, all you hear is boom, 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 boom.
That's a multiple launch rocket system, yeah. So that's definitely what it was.
But they're savages, man. I mean, I'm watching them with the hostages and everything, you know, some of the video. I mean, they grab women and everything. I mean, and they act like a bunch of animals, you know. And that's how they are. It reminds me of these liberals over here. That's what it reminded me of, you know, how they act. And you go all crazy, berserk, because, you know, they're nuts, man. Or these rioters that we get, they're burning down Dollar General stores and everything. They're acting like whack jobs. You know, I mean, it's just insane. I mean, you got to watch your back when you're out there today, man. You got to be careful. I mean, it's crazy. The world is crazy.
Well, that's what I was talking about earlier. I mean, you're absolutely right. You're seeing stuff today. Heck, you never read these happenings in a science fiction book.
Yeah, it's terrible. I mean, it's just, and they don't, I mean, it's just, and I, the lack for authority in this country, I mean, I just can't believe, I mean, like when I was working as a security officer, I'd go to go out to eat or something, I would never go through a drive-thru. I'd be scared they'd spit my food. They'd look at you like, ugh, you know, like I'm, you know, they can't stand you because I'm wearing a uniform, you know. I mean, I was working at a shopping plaza one day, they just want to pick a fight with you, argue with you, you know, any type of authority, you know. Sir, you can't park right there, it's a fire lane. Get the hell out of my place, go harass somebody else, what are you going to harass me for? You know, it's like, holy smack, man. It's crazy.
Oh, man. Oh. Yeah, that's
yeah,
crazy.
Well, I'm wondering if they were using those 300-millimeter rockets that the Russians use. They got the ones they use in Ukraine are 300-millimeter, and each one of those batteries got about 12 or so of them, and they really can do a lot of damage when they hit.
I think they came from Iran.
Well, they use Russian gear. And like I said, the Russian multiple launch rockets is a 300-millimeter projectile, and that's a goddamn big piece of munition right there.
Well, I wonder how they get the arms shipped there. You know, how are they getting these arms into the country?
Yeah.
Oh, shit, that's not a problem. They get them through Iran. I mean, Palestinian Authority is semi-autonomous. And you know,
they
got a lot of people
across
in there.
The border, though. How are they getting them across the border, Sarge? Because Iran, you know, it has to cross over Syria or Israel to get to Palestine.
Well, you mentioned Syria. There you go. Syria. They got a lot of help from folks in Syria.
Yeah. Those places are bad places, man. Oh, wow.
Well, this is going to be ugly. I actually hope the Israelis can bring a victorious conclusion this real quick. I doubt if it's going to happen, but I'm certainly hoping for it because the implications for the world are severe. We are no longer energy independent thanks to this goddamn fool in the White House.
Yeah. Our country will suffer bad. I mean, people just don't understand what they've done. I mean, yeah. I mean, no electricity, no fuel. We'll have nothing. You know, I mean, that's why we have to take back our infrastructure.
And it didn't have to be this way, Joe. We were energy independent. We didn't need anybody else.
Nope.
Good night,
get away with it.
Good night, Adrian. You take care of yourself.
Good night, Adrian.
I mean, this is what men mean, man. We were energy independent.
Yeah. I don't know.
Well, you know what people don't understand? If you're at war, your windows get busted. No need calling State Farm or Allstate.
Yeah, they got a war clause to cover that. In case of civil war or international war, they're not liable to pay off claims.
Yep.
Oh.
That's right. Unless you can afford to pay a hyper premium for that particular privilege. Most every insurance policy is not liable for damages incurred during a war.
Well, Sarge, I told everybody in the always September and October something major always happens. Always. Just look at the history. Something big always happens.
Oh man, yeah. Yom Kippur War in 1973 that almost ended Israel. Occurred on October 6th. Hamas yep. did this for a reason. The 50th anniversary of the Yom Kippur War, when Israel came perilously close to being defeated.
Yep. Well, I don't know. You know, you got to just, you know, like I said, America is, we have to take this country back. And, I mean, just these people, I just don't know how to handle these people. Like, we were having this discussion last night. How do you handle these people that are just totally against the foundations of what America stands for? I mean, they it's like they love seeing America in turmoil, and they want to see it destroyed.
Well,
you know?
Joe, we got to separate the useful idiots from the leaders. The people who are behind this, they are acutely aware of our foundation, our foundings. They know what the principles are. Many of them are at least noddingly familiar with the Constitution. That is why they wish to destroy it, because it stands in the way of their wish to power. That's why they're doing it. Now, we have to separate them, who are worthy of concerted attention, from the useful idiots who just think they're trying to usher in a virtuous new world. There's a difference.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, it's crazy, man. It's crazy. It's bad. I mean, it's that people just don't understand how bad it really is. It's not about fear-mongering. It's not about, you know, trying to make anybody afraid or whatever, but it's just things are really, really not well right now. I mean, I've never seen it this bad.
Well, it's going to get worse. I can imagine a reaction of the left, the insane, lunatic, demented, destructive left, if Donald Trump is reelected. But it's going to be just as bad as if he's not, if not worse. They will go absolutely insane. They've been told he is Hitler. Who wants to have Hitler in power? These people have been told for almost a decade now, that he is Hitler. And many of them believe it.
Yeah.
These congressmen need to be paid by the state that they represent. That would help break their crap up a little bit.
Well, that's another one of the things that we have to take care of when we get the ship back to dry dock. It's so many things we have to address. But right now, we got to get the ship back to dry dock. We got to fix everything that is not, that is causing it to sink. That's what we got to concentrate on.
Well, you're absolutely right. We need to keep notes and take names.
Yep. There's a whole lot of things we need to address.
When you start fixing the ship, these idiots are going to scatter like roaches, man. But they will pop up again some place down the road. You got to keep the names.
Can you imagine this great experiment in constitutional republic and individual liberty sinking to the bottom of the Marianas Trench, never to be raised? I just don't like that idea at all.
Well,
I want to
keep
this ship of state afloat.
Getting back to Daniel and Cassie, you know, if we can look, back into the history of this country, look at the course of events, a lot of those things that happened had to be by some sort of divine intervention.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No doubt about it. Man,
what we're seeing now, Sarge, is pure demonic. I mean, just to kill all of your babies like that.
Yeah.
Well,
that's not
it's
human.
It's like John Adams said, our Constitution was made for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the governance of any other. He's probably right.
You know, I mean, there's been an uptick in this evil over the years. Let's be honest, you know. And now,
I'm not gonna argue there.
With the biolabs, with all this new stuff that this evil has conjured up. You know, I'm not sure exactly where the evil comes from, but I do not think that humans wanted it this way. I think we have been persuaded, influenced, infiltrated by whether it be demonic, whether it be
I think it's a lot more extraterrestrial type. We all know that the Germans in the 1930s had technology that no one else had. No one else had ever seen except maybe for Tesla. And they, you know, you can see a lot of it on the documentaries. You know, you're like, right. What? The Germans had this?
Well, yeah.
How did they lose? Well, we all know the Germans technically did not lose World War II.
Wait a minute. They unconditionally surrendered, so I'd have to say they kind of did. You mean it in terms of the weapons of war they were able to engineer? Is that what you mean?
Right, right. And
okay.
the scientists who were through paperclip distributed throughout the world. All
yeah.
the Germans did was act like they lost the war, sent all their scientists to Russia and the United States. You know, and the leaders end up in Antarctica and Argentina.
Well, the problem with the German war effort technically was they suffered. Now, it's true. They had no lack of innovation technologically when it came to developing war weapons. They were
right.
head and shoulders above. Here's the problem with the Germans, though. They suffered from a lack of focus in their ability to decide what they were going to concentrate on manufacturing. They had a limited industrial base in terms of size and manufacturing
right.
capability, and they dispersed and dissolved their efforts in too many projects at one time, no matter how brilliant they were, instead of concentrating on one or two very good designs that get the job done and get a lot of equipment into the hands of as many soldiers as possible. That's where they screwed up. And
yeah.
it wasn't until that guy Albert Speer came along and he put some sort of coherence to the German war effort that they were able to increase the production output. If he had taken command of the German war economy earlier, it would have been a different outcome. Germany probably would have lasted another couple of years at least. And who knows, maybe they would have got a negotiated settlement rather than unconditional surrender. But he came along too late. They just
right.
dispersed their efforts too much. I mean, look at what they came up with. They came up with the first night vision equipment. They came
yeah.
up with the first almost quasi-nuclear submarine that could stay submerged and could go faster underwater than on the surface. They came with the first submarine like that. They had the first operational jet engine, the first assault
right.
rifles, the first general-purpose machine gun, the first use of telesymmetric radar. They had all kind of things that nobody else had during the war. The first intercontinental ballistic system, missile system. You know,
yeah.
they had the first cruise missile. You know, you go on and on what they came up with. The problem was they couldn't concentrate their efforts. They had limited manufacturing, and they wasted on too many goddamn projects.
Right. Sarge, what do you think about Admiral Byrd and his journey to Antarctica as read through his diary?
It was an outstanding feat of exploration. I mean, what can you say about it? I mean, think of a guy going to Antarctica. Who lives in Antarctica? Nobody.
Well, you would think that. You would think that.
Well, I mean, it's just not hospitable for human habitation. There's no animals live there.
You don't think that he traveled within the Earth and met with the extraterrestrial civilization down in Antarctica?
I don't know if he did or not. I know this much. He certainly didn't write about it. There's certainly no information from him directly that he did. I mean, I don't know what he didn't do.
His diary was found 30 years after his death, and it explains exactly what I'm talking about. He traveled within the earth and met with the guy called, they called him the Master. And the Master said, take this message to your leaders. And it was, the message was, you know, defuse every nuclear bomb, quit, because you're going to affect us. And they put a gag order on him. That's why he never talked about it, but he wrote it in his diary.
Now, I remember hearing something about a book, I think written by some French author about this. I don't think it was given a lot of accreditation, though. So, but I really can't speak to it because I'm not really that familiar with it.
Well, I'm real big on, you know, look, you know, the technology you were just talking about Germany during and before World War II, that technology did not just come to the German scientists. This information was given to them by somebody else, and they weren't human.
Well, I mean, it came up. Well, look, Germany, for instance, came up with the first operational jet aircraft. Okay, now that's well understood. But at the same time, jet and German engineers working for Heinkel, the German aircraft manufacturer, at the same time they were developing the German axial flow jet engine, the British, without knowledge of what the Germans are doing, we're developing a radio flow jet engine in Britain, working on basically the same principle. So, I mean, some things do happen, you know, at roughly the same time as technology becomes available. And remember, the Germans didn't know what the British were doing, and the British didn't know what the Germans were doing. But they both came up with jet engines at roughly the same time.
Yeah, I can understand that. I can feel that.
Yeah, that was in 1939.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, so again, well, some things are coincidental. Although with Germany, though, given their enormous technological advances at the time, I mean, there's no other country in the world ahead of them. I do think, but I think, that, look, that's, I think part of that is the German dedication, particularly then, to engineering. I mean, no, I don't think any other people in the world was dedicated to conceptual engineering as the Germans were at that time.
Germans. You're right.
Nobody was. I mean, they just believed it. I mean, they were doing rocket, you know, Wernher von Braun as a junior scientist was doing rocket experimentation in the 1920s and 30s. And, even though they were inspired by Robert Goddard in the United States, who really was kind of the pioneer of rocket experimentation and implementation, the Germans took it several steps further than anybody else in the world was doing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I don't think they got that from aliens. I think they got that from good old American know-how that got them started on the road to it. They started looking at what the Americans were doing with Robert Goddard.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I've seen too much. I've read too much. I would just ask you to just take a look at it. Take a look at it. Read about and these people aren't aliens. They were here before we were. They just live inside the earth. And there's a lot of them. There's a lot of different, like the reptilians. You've heard of the reptilians, the Dracos.
Yeah, like that. What's that? I think that lady on that airplane saw one of them, didn't you?
Right, right. Hey, the lady on the airplane, look, not only that, the people like, okay, Adele and Bruce, what's his name? Caitlyn Jenner? They were at a restaurant people tweeted this out. Oh, my God. I just saw, and this Adele, these people were backstage with her. They had passes to go backstage. She started to shapeshift into one of these reptilians, and she couldn't control it. The reason she couldn't control it is because the frequency of the earth and the frequency of the people. It, we're all changing right now. We're all ascending. And she said, I can't control it. And she said, but I'm one of the good ones. I'm one of, talking about a lizard. Adele is a fucking reptilian.
Adele?
I'm telling you. Yes, sir. When's the last time you seen her tour?
Well, I've never seen her tour, but I like her singing.
I love her singing.
Yeah.
I do. I love just about every song she makes. But she shapeshifted and couldn't control it, apologized to the people. These people saw it, and they tweeted all this stuff out. Of course, you're not going to hear it on the mainstream media. The same thing happened to Bruce Jenner at a restaurant in L.A. Caitlyn Jenner, Bruce Jenner, whoever, they said, oh, my God, he's got scales. Oh, my God, you know.
Well, he definitely, no doubt about it, Bruce Jenner is definitely shapeshifted. Now, there ain't no doubt about that whatsoever.
Oh, my God.
Now, that I can believe. Now, Adele, on the other hand, it was really a rather beautiful woman. I got a little bit more problem with that one.
I thought it was old man scales, you know, for being old. Hell, I must be shaking.
Yeah, so, you know, I don't say with certainty anything that I don't know about. So I ain't got, but I've yet to be convinced that Adele is a shapeshifter. I'm sorry, you gotta show me a lot of evidence with that one.
All you gotta do is type it in on YouTube, man. Yeah, I mean, they're not gonna show you a picture. Nobody, I don't think anybody got video.
With all them people in the concert, you mean nobody took a video of it? Everybody takes videos of everything.
Yeah, but every social platform is censored too. They don't want you seeing this stuff. They don't want you seeing the truth. You're not going to see the truth. You may hear it. And that's why we have to have faith on certain things, because you're not going to see it.
Well, I'll put it this way. I'll just chalk it up to yet to be determined.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Just look into it, man.
Yeah.
Just look into it. Let's see. I'm trying to look for some stuff. Y'all talk about some. I'm looking up some stuff.
But man, I got no problem. I got no problem with these boobs.
Hold on.
For my show tomorrow night, you all remember Jemana, right? Jemana used to host a Friday night show called The Right View back in the day, and she's called into my show a couple of times. Jemana is from Israel. And she was recently visited. She went back home to visit Israel, I believe, like 3 months ago. And so I texted her and asked her if she's available to call in tomorrow, because I'm sure she's like all over, like reading and watching everything and anything having to do with this attack on Israel. So she plans to call into my show tomorrow night. So I'm really interested to see what she has to say about this whole situation. I'm sure she's watching it like a hawk, and I think it'll be kind of awesome, too, for her to get introduced to Valerie. So, so you guys will definitely want to tune into my show tomorrow night.
We will. You know that. Hey, I want to say this real quick. Hey, y'all, all I did was Google Adele shapeshifting. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I'm not finished. It keeps on. Some are YouTube, some are Twitter. Adele caught shapeshifting into 8-foot reptilian in New Zealand. That was at her concert. Y'all look it up.
Is there a video?
Let's see. There's some YouTube deals, but I don't know if any of them
Oh, okay. I'll check
this
out.
One is.
I mean, if,
top 10.
If this was happening backstage at a concert, somebody's got to have it on video. If she really shapeshifted,
right,
how would there
right.
not be somebody recording? You know,
but
and
you,
plastering
no, Lorianne,
it all over.
You're right. But if you put a video like that on YouTube or Rumble or anything else, Big Brother's gonna take it off. You'll never see it.
Well, they catch
They're
you.
They're censored.
Well, maybe on BitChute. You know, I would say probably
right.
BitChute would be your best bet
be
because
your, right.
they seem to be like the least monitored.
You're
Rumble
right.
is used to be that way, but because of YouTube's policies and giving everybody the axe, everybody started to move over to Rumble. And so now
uh-huh.
that Rumble is up and comer, now it's being watched more. But so I think BitChute is still sort of, in a way, under the radar. The government
oh,
doesn't
agree.
Have its claws on it quite yet. Yeah, so I think start looking on BitChute. Because if anything's going to be posted and stay up long enough to actually see it, it'll probably be BitChute.
That's what I'm saying. You got that right. You said it just right. But all these
like
tweets
mine,
from
my
Twitter.
Friend.
Exactly, exactly. But you can read the tweets from all these people that were, you know, anyways, I just ask that everybody look into it. I mean, I'm not making this up, and it's a simple Google, Adele shapeshifting, and all this information pulls up. So it's there, you know. Anyways, go
okay.
ahead. No, I'm sorry.
I'm just trying to find it.
Adele shapeshifting. And let's see, this one, let's see. Here's a YouTube. Okay. Adele caught shapeshifting into 8-foot reptilian. Let's see if it's her or if it's just somebody with a YouTube commentary or something. It's 2 minutes and 19 seconds.
Most people have no clue that in 2023 the best way to make money on
Amazon
is not with physical products.
Okay, Adele caught shapeshifting into 8-foot reptilian in New Zealand. I'm
Adele shapeshifted into an 8-foot reptilian backstage at Auckland's Mount Smart Stadium after the final concert of her world tour, according to Shock.